Call this meeting to order, March 2nd at 6:30.
Today's the 9th.
Why is the 2nd on the agenda?
Because that's the date that I did it.
The 9th, rather. Okay. The 9th of March, correction. All right, let's jump right on in here. Appointments. Jason, give us what you got.
Okay. What I've been on, our surveys have started for the Independence Project, so we've been able to collect some topo data so that we can continue on the design. Pretty soon, as soon as we get more of the snow down, we'll be able to get the property corners and then get the tribal right-of-way process continued after that. So we've been communicating with the tribe more, and they're anticipating receiving that in the next week or so, hopefully, and then they'll be able to schedule the appraisals and keep going with that process. So that's moving forward as fast as it can at this point. I did communicate with some of the pipe suppliers down at Rural Water, and I was asking about the pricing. Right now, they don't see anything coming to make it go up or go down, but, you know, nobody's got the crystal ball on that. I did ask about the ethane production, too, and they didn't know much about that, so.
That's too upstream for them, I'm sure.
Probably. Anyways, right now, it's sitting at a pretty constant price. They're estimating about $1.35 a pound, so, which is pretty close to where it has been all year. Hasn't been changing a lot. Still cheaper than the PVC, though. So, but unfortunately we can't order that until the right-of-ways are secure and the plans are approved. So we're just kind of waiting on that one. And unless you don't want to be reimbursed for it. So if you're willing to take that risk on yourselves and pay for it, then it's all on you, but that's a big expense to incur.
I think we'd rather the reimbursement for sure.
Yep. And then your map, I hope you were able to see, you probably didn't see it yet. I sent you an email this afternoon with...
I see the email come across, yes. So. I can't open sheet files from there, but I trust that they're good.
Yeah, so worked with Dixon today, finalized what we had as far as the boundary and worked with the county. We were able to get the new precinct boundaries matched up with the new boundary for the district. So
the outer boundaries and the precincts.
So they put that on the county's website?
They haven't put it on the counties, but we can probably tell them to put the precincts on there if you want and have it on their records as well. But
I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, I guess that was part of the discussion that we had, that the county would have that, right?
I don't know about the shape files.
The shape files are for the county.
The state.
You're going to have the county records, right? Because like you guys hold GIS stuff for the county, right?
We don't hold it. They're managing it, but we're helping them. Yeah, we are managing it for them, but
yeah.
It's on their server.
So. Right. I mean, you guys are in the... But I was talking about not just that, but to the... voter file or voter registration.
Right.
That's where it needs the shape files need to be uploaded. So we get into Shelly Jackson. Karen, you know Shelly Jackson
with the state.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Governor office.
I don't know her personally, but I know her name.
You want to get her through the can little shape files for it. I mean, she has the file.
Yeah. It was emailed to the Johnson Water email address as well.
Okay.
So.
Get those forwarded to Shelly and tell her, say, can you load these on the election system for us. She's been expecting for a year, so she might need to remember, but I did remind her, I don't know, 6 months ago when it was at Cedar City that they were coming.
Good.
Okay.
We're in an election year, and I'm sure we'll have at least half a dozen or a dozen people trying to get all
quadruple.
This highly sought after roles that we got up, right?
Who's up for election?
Three of us this time.
Okay.
So next time, chair and vice chair. Yep. Vice first.
There you go.
I think I've got something to do.
Yes.
I did too, and look what happened.
So that's where we're sitting on those two projects. We did meet with SCI today on your Ledge Lane SCADA, and we should be getting the information, well, getting the pumps for the Ledge Lane booster station mid-May, and then SCI will get their support for the SCADA side. You'll have a radio tower here, and all of the controls to control the booster pump station and monitor the tank levels. And they also talked about adding controls to the well right there so that they could be turned on, the well could be turned on remotely to fill the pit. So.
Will that be an add-on then, or is it?
A little bit. Jim was able to find the meters, and so they had a reduction in cost because they're not going to be supplying meters anymore.
Okay.
And they're not going to be supplying as many meters, so there was about 7,500 that they said that they would be cutting out of the cost, but then adding in a little bit more for hooking up that well to get it to do what it needs to. He said he would get a cost back to us here in another few days to nail that down. But it's not too much different. He said, I talked to him a bunch down at Rural Water too, and he said that a lot of the stuff he already has on the shelf. To do the work, so there's not a whole lot of change with what he's already quoted to you.
Good.
So,
okay.
But we should be seeing that here shortly. And then Weldon has said that they are good to come out when the mud disappears, so it might be until May for them to come out too. They just don't want to fight the mud out there. I also talked to them, we're coming up on 11 months from the time that we gave them our notice of substantial completion. That is not next Monday, but the Monday after. So I scheduled to have Mike Weldon come out, and we'll go drive the Pleasant Valley. If any of you guys want to come, you're welcome to that as well. That's going to be... It's going to be on the 20th at 1 o'clock. We'll probably just meet here and then just drive out there. So, there's a few things, there's a few places where it's settled that we'll point out.
Sound like Rasmus
and
Fett? Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
We'll go address that, and then anything else we can see out there, we'll address it. Their warranty period will be up a month, so we want to just walk it for this 11 months and make sure that everything looks all right with it, and then they can take care of it within that warranty period. So that's...
So is that where they did that connection by pump station number 2? Is that under part of this?
Yeah.
So they'll repair that something part 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anything else? You guys probably got a punch list. I'm sure.
Those are the only ones I know about. I don't know of any other real... problems that have come up.
Yeah. And we'll look at those specifically, but if we notice anything else while we're out there, we'll take care of it.
Okay.
So that's where we're sitting.
We haven't seen a lot for the last 3 or 4 months.
Perfect.
So anyways, that's where we're sitting with that one. I think that's about all I have, unless you guys have any other questions.
So one question, what did we leave off on the on our boundary discussion and annexing members in to our area as far as
the policy?
Yeah, have we done anything on...
We haven't come up with a definitive policy yet. We talked a little bit about
nothing.
Charging them 50% more, give them a time limit to get in before we charge them.
Right. I remember the discussion last meeting, but we haven't prepared anything to look at or?
A policy? No.
Okay, so when we get that, I guess we'll work with you guys to help with the annexation process.
Well, and we provided a template to use to send out. It's just a matter of how you guys want to apply it.
Okay.
So that
was in the that other the what do you call it the where it was like that part where you did for the subdivision policy kind of thing. It was in that?
No, I think we'd already done that beforehand where you guys wanted just like a sample letter of like, it was just a letter basically saying that fill in the blank of your name, I want to be annexed in, and then you send it into the county, and then they handle it from there. So you just send that with the policy notice, and then they have the opportunity to just fill it out and send it over.
So you could also just put that on the website and then send them a letter saying that, or a notice of, you know, that you're not annexed in, access the website, you get an application to fill out,
yep,
and send it to the county.
Yeah, you could totally do it that way too.
That's right, we were talking about rate fees versus being in and being out. Okay, I'm remembering now. It's been a couple months, but...
Oh, and I guess that's the other thing, is we... as we were reviewing your the cost for the lead copper stuff, sorry to get off the subject, but we reviewed that. I know we discussed about $30,000. As we were looking at it, we wanted to make sure you guys had enough room in there to, if you needed to go do potholing, to put on the customer side of the meter, or have somebody go out and do the surveys or whatever is involved that way. You had room in the budget for that, so we applied for nearly $100,000 on that, so that you guys would be able to get enough cover to take care of that.
I'm still burned about that.
Yeah.
It's kind of our
you and every other board member in the city.
So update a little bit, Dixon, on in between.
But thank you.
Our meeting with that discussion and now with the state has
even though I'll get my constitution.
So. Jason talked to me shortly after our meeting, and he looked at it, and he says, well, this $30,000 is what it was initially, right?
Right.
It's not going to go anywhere as far as covering it, and if we're going to get a grant, we may as well go for the maximum we can get.
Right.
And so I said, yeah, go for it, because the cost of preparing either one is the same.
So the state... Meaning the state, the conversation emails back and forth between us. The state had options as far as they were going to hire somebody to do this?
Yeah, so they, and what they've done is the state has a pot of money that's available for them to hire somebody to go out and do the surveys for you, essentially. And there was consultants that went out to bid, basically, as an RFP, and different firms put in for it. And then basically that's another round of support that you can apply for, or assistance that you can apply for.
And it was for rural, right? Rural communities?
Yes, and under 10,000 people. So,
in what?
What's that?
In what geographic area?
Anywhere. Any system with less than 10,000
people. By system?
Yeah. 10,000 population.
Service?
Right. So they...
Service area, I guess.
Yeah, that's a separate pot of money. This one was a hardship funding, so they have money, and if you qualified for the hardship criteria, you could qualify for a grant. They may offer part of it as a loan, depending on how many people apply and how your hardship is graded compared to other
systems
that have applied for it.
And they were very specific about this is no guarantee at all that you will get funding at all.
Right.
But they're going to make us do it.
Well, yeah, we still have to do...
You still have to do the lead and copper. That's a hard rule from the federal government.
To our meter.
Just to...
You've got to see what's on the customer side of the meter, too. And anything...
What's in the meter box, excuse me? Like that far?
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one to sell.
So, basically, you've got on their... They have a template that they put in there, and it's got like 100 questions that you have to answer about every single house, and the place to attach photographs of the pipe coming through the foundation or up out of the floor
That's a privacy law, but I mean, we
exactly.
We cannot trespass and take pictures of
persons.
At this point,
it surprises me at this far. I can't believe that this hasn't been an uproar.
Right. At this point, they're just needing to know what's connected to the system.
Right.
So
their next step will be from the owner.
Just put it, if they're worried about it being coming back in the system, just put backflow preventers and everything.
So for now, this first wave, we won't be doing anything on the customer side.
Well,
just,
you need to
just
identify.
A survey. The October of 2024, is it October or September?
October.
Yeah,
you have to have the survey complete of your lead service line inventory.
On our system. Not on the customer side of the meter.
On the customer side as well.
In the house or just to the house?
To the house.
So it could just be at the meter too.
So we have to identify if, like, I got a friend, you guys seen this pipe, Landon?
Yeah.
So is that lead-infused crap, or would that qualify as it, or how would we know if it's galvanized lead still, you know?
So there's a thing. Galvanized is okay, but if it's downstream of lead, then it has to be replaced.
Any lead?
Any lead.
So they're going above and beyond what they've adopted as the ICC standards, the building code standards, because they allow 8% lead in all plumbing systems by their standards that they've adopted by the United States. So if now they're saying no lead can be incorporated in that.
Well, in what? What are they saying? Lead in brass fitting?
Any plumbing system whatsoever, 8% lead. You can't have over 8% in any fittings, any systems, any anything.
So all of the fittings have been stamped no lead since 2013 or something like that.
Well, we'll do what we can, but I don't...
This is a multi-step process, obviously.
Yeah. We'll go down the first step for sake of time, I guess. One question I've got for you, though, as far as the $100,000, if we get granted whatever portion of that,
mm-hmm.
Can that go to equipment or anything of that nature to help identify that lead?
Yeah, it can. Yeah, you can pay for somebody to come hydrovac it, or
I'm talking equipment.
To buy a new hydrovac or something, or a backhoe. It probably could. I'll have to check on that one to be sure, but.
The indication I got from the session I attended was that could be used.
Yeah.
But that don't go very far, 100,000.
No. But if we were only going to put in for 30,000 originally, I'm just saying, if we get 100,000 grant, we don't want to leave money on the table if we're going to. We probably won't get it, but.
Well, and you may. If the funding package that's offered comes back as just a loan, and it's not what you guys want to do, then you can go to that next phase, which will be apply to have the state's hired contractor to come and basically perform the work for you. But that one is limited to as many people as apply to it and qualify for it, then that pot of money and the work that the state is willing to pay for gets distributed to all the systems that are granted that assistance, as you were. So this obviously would, if you're able to get the grant and get the supplemental funding, then you guys have more control of what you do with it. You can pay your employees for time associated with that. You can do the incentives for the customers filling out the surveys. I mean, really as much as you want to do with that.
What is the strings that are attached to that? Remember we had this discussion, if we're unable to be, is it 100% and we get funded?
So the survey has to be filled out 100%, which means if you don't get the information from the customer, then all you have to do is list it as unknown, and it could potentially have lead. And that's basically what it gets listed as.
That qualifies as a survey complaint.
Yes.
I'm just curious on...
But there's also unknown is considered lead.
Right.
So they'll expect the worst.
So when part of the incentive program would be, if you don't, it'll be designated as lead.
And how are they going to test these pipes for lead? Visual isn't going to test for lead.
So there's a lot of scenarios. A lot of houses that we're hooked up to used to have wells, okay? They may have put lead piping from their well to their house. Then they signed up for Johnson Water and brought a HDPE line in to where their well was and hooked it to their lead line that goes into their house. But the last 10 feet is HDPE again. So you got a piece of lead right in the middle. It's like there's no way to know.
But the question
unless you dig up the whole line.
How, if we do expose a line, are we qualified? Do we have the equipment to test for lead?
That's what I say. Are we going to like to see if we have bald head veins or what?
And this funding could go toward lead tests.
I've seen a lead pipe.
Well, yeah, we've seen a lead pipe, but copper.
In the Clue game.
How are we going to...
Well, the copper soldering, right?
The copper,
right.
Yeah.
You'd have to do this.
So the copper soldering is... it's not part of this.
That's in the house stuff, but it's not a part of this now.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is just...
But if you're trying to answer your question, if I understand it right, we'll look at our meter, and then you've got to look where it goes in the house. So if it is lead going from the well to the house, you would see it at that point, right?
If it went all the way to the house, yeah.
I mean, there's always... I am sure that there's some janky stuff out there, but...
Well, and it could be like Dixon's saying, but... You wouldn't know unless you dug the whole thing up or unless the homeowners told you what it was. But.
If we send Drew and say, I'll give you a $5 bill if you fill this out, he fills it out, it's all good. What if these guys just, pencil whip this? It's not on us, right? Give me my $5, right?
I don't know how it can be.
And you can also, part of that $5 is take a picture of where it comes into your house.
So the other scenario is if they do, they're going to have to replace their pipe in these houses?
No, we will.
In their houses. We will not be replacing pipe in their houses.
No, you're not replacing pipe in their houses.
But we could be responsible for replacing the lateral that goes into their house.
There is no homeowner that will say yes to this survey because they're going to be responsible to be replacing their pipes. This is crazy.
Well, yeah, and this is the opportunity for them to...
We're all on the same side.
I know. Yeah. I'm angry with the federal government, who I'm angry with. Right. This whole thing...
I'm trying to fill out a USDA report, so I was...
You're already
primed. Before I ever even stepped down.
Don't get bad started.
For sake of time,
Jason, we'll play their game, do this part.
Did you tell them that we're under protest?
Yeah. We're unwillingly going to do this. So.
I don't know. I think this just sounds...
Federal government?
It sounds even bad for them. It sounds a little off you. I mean,
sure.
But, I mean, you're just going to pencil with it, give them their...
I just don't want liability to be on Johnson. So whatever we do, we get qualified for this water. Let's get something that can test this instead of visually staff. Because I don't want any responsibility to come back to us that you looked at it. If we have some sort of a way to test the mineral in the pipe for lead, then I just so you know, I think that's the way to go. I feel anyway.
Let's pay extra close attention to make sure that we read the fine print to say if you take this $100,000 or whatever we get, that you're obligated through the whole phases,
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We need to understand that red tape to see what strings are attached, because this is the federal government.
The testing's problematic as well. If you read up on Flint, Michigan, they replaced all kinds of lines, and after almost every single line that was replaced, the lead level went up. Mm-hmm. Because
they disturbed it?
Because they disturbed it.
Right.
So, okay.
I'm sorry that...
No.
Revisit that one, but
that's a sore spot.
We're keep our eye out for it. We recognize that this sucks, not just for you guys, it's for everybody, and we're trying to.
I think the state can be a lot more clear on how funding things work. Yeah. I mean, they have two different deadlines for that application.
Yeah, and they admitted to that one that they faltered. So we talked to them about it. They said, yeah, you can use that later one because it was on the application. So. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll move forward. Thank you, Jason, for that.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, no thanks, but thanks for that. Okay, Eric, did you have anything for us today?
I don't have anything specific, just to give you what you did on the two projects that we're looking at. Wyatt Griffith and also the subdivision over here by the Blue Gas Station. Both of those are basically all quiet right now. Okay. We haven't heard anything, so
That's where we're at on those ones.
Okay.
As far as looking, the spot I brought up last time in the model that went deficient on fire flow, when we added that development in over on the Mike and Bench, you guys asked me to look into what about 600 gallons per minute would do there.
Yeah.
So at that location, depending on how many connections you put in on this development, you range anywhere between 500 and about 1,150 gallons per minute that's available at that location.
That would be available.
Depending on...
What does that equate to home life?
As far... So I was looking at the flow that would be delivered at that loadout station on the mine bench. Home-wise, with the development... So do you get... It was like an air traffic radio tower.
Oh, you mean pump station
one? I'm not sure what it's
is called. Is that what you're talking about, pump station one over by the UFO?
Yeah. So depending on the number of watts that you guys actually approve, if this does go forward, like say it's between 500 and 1,150 gallons per minute
so
available.
Per home, 300 plus gallons a day for a family.
Yeah.
300.
It's too late to do math right now.
A day. That is, sorry. So good.
So having pump station one saying you're going to have 600 gallons a minute, mm-hmm. it, from 5 to 1,100, what do you say?
If you put in, I should have brought the papers with me to have the exact numbers, but I want to say it was 117 watts, I believe was the number. That would get you close to 1,000 gallons a minute. What's that?
On your lot for 12 gallons a minute per home, basically.
Okay.
If there's that many houses in there, you're 1,400 gallons a minute.
How many houses did you put in?
What did you
there's
say?
There's 117.
117.
Yeah.
That's 300 gallons.
Okay, so, but that's what 600 gallons a minute at pump station one.
Right.
That's surprising.
That's not as bad as I thought it would be.
What was the quantity that... Was that the quantity without the fire hydrant dropping below the state standard?
No, that's dropping below the state standard and only allowing 600 gallons per minute at pump station one.
Okay, so if you kept that fire hydrant above state standard?
If you kept that fire hydrant above state standard, I don't remember the exact number I told you guys last time as far as residential lots go. I want to say it was in the 40 to 45 range residential lots. That can be approved.
Wow. That's a problem.
So.
They're going to ask a lot of lots, but I mean, the guy has big ambitions, so.
Yeah. And as he gets moving forward, if he ever does, we can sit down.
Moon Lake was at 60.
Information and stuff.
Was Moon Lake at 60?
Moon Lake was, yes, right around there.
That they could.
So we may be at the limiting factor with that 600.
Right. If Dominion supplied gas. If Dominion didn't supply gas and it was all of
well, the gas is right there. I don't know why they wouldn't.
Right.
I don't know.
So as a government, they're not going to let you have gas in your home?
Yeah. That's a possibility soon, too. That'll be the next one, then.
Okay.
So. Well, we can't really do anything other than information right now on that until
right.
they actually come with a concept plan.
Yep.
And a design on homes, but that's good information to know what we do have capable to feed there. So now we know. We may be a limiting factor then. Okay.
Yeah, well, we can narrow everything down when we get
further along. We'll hang on to those numbers.
Share
we'll probably
information as we get to.
And they're working through you guys, right? You haven't heard anything from them. They went dark.
Yeah, so I finished the report. I went on vacation. They sent the report out while I was gone on vacation at the end of January, and I haven't heard anything since.
Okay.
So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Thanks for the update. Okay. Ryan's not a... Got anything to report, Ryan? You're not an engineer.
The truck situation to report on.
Do you wanna wait till you do his?
Or do you want to do under their managers?
Yeah. Let's just hang on for a bit, Ryan. You can sit there. You're good. Let's wait until we get down to the manager's report.
Bill Preston. I just was in charge of reporting on.
Okay. That's a big that is definitely pressing. So we've got an issue with one of our trucks. So
We'll talk about it here in just a minute. Let's move on to our minutes real quick and get those out of the way. So this will be for the February meeting. We only had one right last month. Okay. So I'll accept a motion to approve the minutes.
I see one correction down there. It's either Dan Crozier or Dean Brock. It's not Dan Brock.
Right. Yeah, who was it? I had that one circled too.
Just down on, just below minute to adopt. So I don't remember being by that to you or whether that was me.
And you both said at the same time.
Maybe.
We can look back the tape if we need to. If you guys don't remember. Okay. One.
I would say Dan did it because that's the first thing.
Right.
You'd get the first would be a standard out. What was Dan?
Well, it doesn't matter to me. It's just that's where it's at. So I just double short.
Maybe Dean will take credit.
No.
Any other?
I didn't see anything else myself.
So I've got a couple I found just on the Ledge Lane visitors section there. Jason's report. Ledge Lane, the second bullet point. Ledge Lane is a way out. Had to order different pumps. What were we trying to say there?
Put a comma after out.
Lindsay's way out. Has ordered different pumps.
Is a way out.
So
date-wise. Okay.
Time-wise.
Okay. Is a ways out?
Yeah, that would be what's an ask.
A ways out? There we go. A ways. A-W-A-Y-S. Okay. A ways out. There we go. I tried read it a couple times, like, well, I don't know what that
means. Commas are important.
Okay.
It's also a way out if you want to get out of it.
That's right. That's what I was thinking. It's a way out. Okay, you got Dan. Second page there on the manager's report. I think we're okay on the second bullet point when we're talking about annual clothing allowance after I read it twice. Annual clothing allowance should not be used for hats, coats, gloves, period. Shirts, Levi's, shoes should come out of the debit card accompanied with a receipt. Because we did approve the clothing policy, so I read that and I thought, okay, that's excluding shirts, Levi's, shoes, blah, blah, blah. But you guys read that okay in that sentence?
Probably should say shirt, pants. Shoes.
What I meant is these are approved items for the policy or something like that. Maybe put before the shirts approved items. I think that would probably take care of the if we ever have to refer back to it.
Or do we want to say comes out of the employee's allotment?
Approved items that will come out of the annual employees allotment for what do we call that? Clothing allowance? For the clothing allowance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Clear as muddy water.
Well, that third bullet went over the member of understanding. It should probably be memorandum.
Yes, sir.
And then the board said to Dixon, I'd say the board instructed to
get that first one. Just a second, Dean.
Okay.
You're good on that one.
That's okay.
Okay. And then memorandum instead of member. Sorry, Dean.
Yeah, I got that. And then the board said to Dixon, maybe just say the board instructed Dixon Taylor to give it to them on board and explain the reason for the doing.
Just that same sentence. Instructed instead of saying. Okay, and a couple more here. I had the land lease at the last of the manager's report. Syncrus will just go bill for this year's 2023 land, and if the land sells, then he can be reimbursed the money he paid for the lease. So with that one, we need to clean that up on... That'll be between the property owner and the leasee at that point. So anything that's going to be reimbursed, I don't think we... How do we word that? That'll be the... It'll be turned over along with the lease to the new property owner and leasee. Because the way I read that, we will be responsible to reimburse it, Chris.
Right. Yeah. I was just, that's when I was just sitting reading, trying to figure out.
We need to word it differently.
Yeah, it needs worked. Because it technically...
We probably should be paying...
Just put by the new owner at the end.
Technically, we should probably be putting that money back to the new landowner.
Well, if he pays the bill to us, mm-hmm. and then we're not dealing in it anymore, then it needs to go to whoever...
To whoever the property owner is. And then if Chris gets bought out, if they decide to go through this year, then they can use that money to help compensate Chris. I don't know how to word that, though. I don't know if you guys have a better way of...
Well, the problem I have with it is that it's an unknown.
Right.
We don't know exactly how things will land.
So probably what we should do is just land lease. Chris O'Driscoll will pay the 2023 land.
If the land sells, we'll deal with it. We'll figure out where the money should go.
I don't even know if we need to...
Do you want me to just wipe it off?
I think we just strike it.
It was a motion, though. Can we strike it?
Did we make a motion? Oh, we just discussed it.
Oh, no, it was a discussion. I apologize.
Yeah, we didn't make a resolution.
So then we can wipe it.
Unless you feel like it needs to be in there.
Well, I think it's just a consensus to do that. I don't know. I think there's a lot of ambiguity there on how that'll work. Because if it comes to us, it really technically should go to the new landowner until they finish their deal, which will be... kind of whatever they work out.
I feel just for tracking purposes, we might just need to leave it there and say land lease, send Chris O'Driscoll a bill for this year, 2023. Just so it's in there somewhere. That states that we did talk about it.
Yeah.
We didn't make any decisions.
When does he normally pay that?
March.
Yeah, in March. So.
April 1st, if I get it out.
Or billed in March and then paid April.
Should that? Forbes has sent Chris O'Driscoll a bill for the year 2023. Land, shouldn't that be lease?
Land lease.
That lease should be in there just...
Oh, yeah, a bill for the land.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like that.
Good catch.
And if the land sells, that should be lease there.
I think we just leave it at land lease, period.
Cut it off there because we'll have... I mean, it'll be... regardless, we're going to be obligated to make it... to do something with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to end up going to the new owner. That's what it'll end up being.
I would assume so. We can... Yeah. Cross that bridge when we get there. So.
Because if he leaves him leasing, then everything's whole. If he buys it out, then they can take that into consideration.
Okay.
So it goes back to the owner, I would say, or the new owner.
So everybody good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next section, this is where I was confused on the minimum bid that we were talking about, bidding out, or the minimum cost. But Karen did get the minimum $50, I believe. In the advertisement to the individuals of our system to lease this extra water. But as I read through this, I didn't see the minimum, so I was hoping that we got it out with the minimum $50 and the assessments, which she did. So I don't know if we need to put that in there, the minimum bid anywhere was assessments and $50.
That was what we did last time.
Yeah.
Right? For the when we was considering the small chunk.
Maybe just put it in there somewhere, wherever it fits. The minimum was the water assessment and $50 minimum.
But that's what was advertised, right, you said?
Yes. So it was advertised correctly, just wasn't clear in the minutes. So. Okay. Other than that, anybody else see anything?
Not a minimum on amounts. Not share
amounts. No, minimum dollar-wise per share, $50. Okay, I'll accept a motion if you guys are ready.
I'll move that we adopt minutes of March for February 9th.
Mr. Moves that we accept the minutes.
Yeah.
Paul, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, let's go on to the financials. Oh, there's two.
Who are these, Aaron?
They're one for each of you board members. The Chambers of Commerce dropped them off.
Who? Oh, Chamber did?
Yeah.
Was it Irene or was it Dorothy?
Dorothy.
Late penalties are already up, huh? Why is it late penalties up? Is it residential or is there an industrial late penalties that are here?
Industrial.
Okay. Who is it?
XCL. XCL, both XCL. Well, they won't show on this one here, though. XCL, and then this month is XCL and Newfield. Both of them are late. So.
What is the fee on that? It's not the $5. Or what is it?
5%.
5%. Yeah, it was a percentage. Okay. So this vehicle maintenance repairs high, is that the truck needs above and beyond? We almost got half our budget for vehicle repairs gone. For a yearling year to have that much money gone.
So you're looking at what on the vehicle repair? The truck seat covers?
No, I'm just looking at the, I haven't put on the back page. I'm just looking on the front page. 43% of the budget spent on the repair of the vehicles, and I was wondering what spiked in.
Yeah, so.
I haven't gone back here yet and looked. But.
Yeah, so it's a new toolbox and seat covers and floor liner for that new pickup. $1,400.
Plow
now
for Jim's truck.
Oh, what did that end up costing them?
Did they send you a bill, Karen?
It wouldn't be on last.
So that's not in this one?
No, that's not on that.
So that'll be in addition to it.
Got it yet.
2014 Ram. That's what spiked it. $1,800. TJ, that was what you were talking about?
No. The seat covers and stuff at the top there somewhere. Are you in the details or just on the...
I've got oil change, I got regular stuff, and then I got a 2014 Ram, $1,800. TJ got pop tire pros.
Some of the tires.
$1,800. Can you buy rims? Spinner rims? Okay.
$1,800 for tires?
It's like that of a spinner rims.
For which truck?
Well,
we've got six tires though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the one that just has problems, we just bought new tires for?
Dang.
We got six
tires in the old
tire. What year was that again?
14.
That's what, 120,000?
We can get the old tires back?
They'll fit Jim's truck. push come to shove. So Jim has a good one on that 21, but
we can get some old tires if we need to.
They are new tires and we'll pay for 3M.
Yeah. With two spares.
Just can't see that on that.
$18 per unit.
Per. I remember the conversation. I just needed to remind so I could spark that memory bank.
Yeah, I was kind of curious how they put that up.
I remember we actually didn't, and then they come back with that idea, and we said, yeah, that's a better way.
Okay.
I just forgot. Just for occurrence.
So on our bank records, or on our bank accounts here at the end, how much of this is in, like, money markets, checking, savings, CDs? Do we have any in CDs right now, or certificates?
No, it's in the state pool.
It's in the state pool, so we can't do anything with it? So we have 5.5%.
Yeah, right now it's finally getting attractive.
If you have, I'm looking at some of these accounts.
Mm-hmm.
This could pay big dividends back to us.
Is operations, where's that?
100 and...
Where's it at, Karen?
The whole system.
No, where is the
money? Everything is in the state pool.
All of it?
Yeah.
The PTIS stuff?
That's the state pool.
The only thing that we have is the checking from out there.
Yeah, the checking.
And the savings,
there's a little savings from out there.
Why do we have to have that all in the state pool?
Well, we did it because of there was interest bearing, but we can't move that.
Well, I imagine you can move it, but we put everything there because the interest was higher there than
it was. It was, but
right.
Now,
but now it's
definitely
not.
You can get a 5.5 CD right now.
Kings Peak's still 4.5. Mount America come off of there 5.5, of course. But Kings Peak, I think, has the best at 4.5 right now. Mount America's 4.25.
Banks are starting to get hungry for money.
But these are year CDs as well, so it doesn't tie it up for longer than 12 months.
Right, yeah, they're only 12 months.
So I would recommend us seriously looking at some of this moving. If we have 3 million or 2 million.
Well, I would more than serious. I would move that we did make a resolution.
Well, but isn't there a state law that you have to keep?
We can't make money?
Yes, there is a state law.
But
do they have to keep it in state reserves or something?
And we would need to make sure that was right, but yeah. I mean, Grant Bitter probably gets the last know on that one.
Can we maybe find some information out, I'd say, by the end of next week on this? Email us back. You guys okay with emails, or do you want phone calls, or how do you... Emails works easiest to get information out in a fast way, but if we're not checking emails, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't check mine all the time. You know,
would a text be better? Text message on the phone? Dan, would you
look at it more often?
Okay, well, and that's fine. I think we could, Dixon, if you just want to communicate in a group text, I'd say by the end of next week, middle of next week, or as soon as you can get information, because if we can
we can lose on that over. We're talking a lot of money we can make back.
Yeah, that's not, it's nothing to shirk at.
So, I know the Dragons last night, they moved a bunch of money to CDs last night because of their interest rate. I mean, they can make on $100,000, a couple hundred thousand dollars, you can make $15,000 to $20,000 to $25,000 in a year. So, help pay for Ryan a new truck.
That's just half of what inflation is.
Right. So, okay.
Keep up with inflation.
We'll hear back from you sometime next week.
So it would add $100,000 at 5% if we got $2 million.
$100,000.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
If we're not tied up with the state or something.
I almost live on that. It's 12. If I was farming.
Oh yeah. Okay. You guys all right with that?
Yep.
A little homework. All right. Everybody, you need some more time on these? If not, we'll accept a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the budget report.
Dean Bruff made the motion to accept the financial report. Second. Paul?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Moving on down the line, manager's report.
Okay, first thing is I just got an email from Alea Nielsen, who's an engineer for Mitton City. She's up there.
I thought Cordy was their engineer.
Says, thank you for sending the attached agreement over for us to review. It turns out that this is great timing as we have been discussing Mitton's water master plan and their sources and would also like to discuss an agreement that everyone is happy with. I will be in town on Monday and would like to set up a time for Johnson Water District and Mitton to meet about this. There's a UBAG meeting. Kathleen and I will need to go to it 3 that afternoon, so would one work for you? Then she goes on, a few initial things we would like to discuss. What flows can both parties agree to as part of the 20% ownership cost? And how was the $500 per month cost found? A reasonable approach that both parties can agree to will help as the system changes, upgrades are added, and maintenance cost increases, as will inevitably happen over time. Mitton's flow meter access. Mitton City needs to report their usage to DWQ each month and has a hard time accessing the meter manually. I'm not sure what she means by that.
They want tap. We don't have telemetry there, though, do
we? Yeah, we do.
So they want access to our telemetry?
I don't know. I don't know what she's talking about. Because it has a digital readout. They'd have to open the hatch to go down and read it.
Once a month.
So I'm not quite sure if that's what she means. I don't know.
Okay.
But we access it online. The batteries went dead. We're not quite sure why, because we think it may have been the solar panels were covered with snow or the sun never shone for a while. I don't know.
Unreliable.
But it also may have been a blown fuse. But we've got them back on there. It's running now. So we're going to see if the batteries stay charged. But they're also 5 years old, so they may have exceeded their lifespan.
They're only probably 5 years batteries, aren't they?
Yeah. So anyway, we'll look at that. But on the $500 a month, we just kind of pulled that out of thin air.
Well, it was, from my understanding from your conversation, it was pulled out of that. It was pulled out, but it was a very conservative number because the other option is just cost share. Indefinitely with all the babysitting and all that, which could be a big administrative nightmare. So we could pull together what the administrative burden estimate is.
And it varies from year to year. Like last year, the last 2 years, we've been doing the Canyon pipeline going down River Road, and we were out there 3 and 4 times a week doing blue stakes. But now it's pretty much over. So this year, it's not as busy out there, but we still covered all the cost.
Well, there's one being the, I think if you just did that, you're not going to be able to get it done down. You just do an average of what you've historically been. Some years it's better, some years it's not. come up with a number and you say there's two ways of going about it. We can do it this way, which probably end up costing you quite a bit more. We can do it this way and just
stick with that.
Just make it easy. Or maybe if you come up with a number and we're like, well, we're way undercut that. Let's double that.
I think that's probably what you'd find if you actually put a number to your time.
But it, when they question it, it forces you to do that. And if you're half what it should, maybe it should be only $100 a month. I doubt it.
So would any board members like to come to that meeting? On, if I agree to it on, what day is it, did she say?
Monday the 13th?
She didn't say a date, just said a time.
Monday, yeah, Monday at 3, or from 1.
I assume that's this coming Monday.
Oh.
Yeah, what day are we?
Tuesday, we have that meeting with Claude.
Yeah, so any board members would like to come at 1, but I'll talk to them. I'll set it up and we'll...
Is that going
to
be here?
Yeah, I would guess, yeah.
Maybe send a text out to confirm that's the time.
Okay.
Maybe.
It'll be this coming Monday then.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the so the Duchesne water use. Did you all get to read through that contract?
Yes.
So they're offering us 400 acre feet. And so I put up there how much we've used in the last, four years? And the 2023 is the year to date on what we've got. So the first 2 months, so I times it by 6, and if we go at the same rate we've been going, we'll be up to 900 acre feet this year. And Ovintiv is building that new 1 million barrel pond, so it's 42 million gallons of water. So we'll fill that in addition to the existing Knowles pit, which are about 30 million each. So we're getting a lot of water there. And then Scout wants water when we're not giving them water. I don't know when that's going to be, but... So, last year it was almost 700 acre feet. This year it's projected to be 900. If they're willing to just keep selling us water, they said nothing stops them from giving us additional over the 400. And, Karen, do you remember what their previous contract was per month? In the previous contract that expired several years ago?
That one with the 100?
Was it 100 acre feet?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember seeing it. But anyway, so do we want to negotiate it to a higher number minimum so they can't cut back? Or do we just want to leave it as and hope they'll let us have what we want?
First, there's really, this contract doesn't provide much of security for us. It's surplus water that's very subjectable to whatever they mean, right? They're calling it surplus water, and it's pretty loose on that, to where that's, they can take it, give it whenever they want, or not when they want. So there's not much security in the quantities that we're even asking for, and then they ask for a agreed amount, which 75, and then they upped it. If you're going up to over 300 or something, then it's 112?
112.50.
112.50 per acre. So I find it a little bit... I'm not sure what the old contract says, but
so
really there's not much committal to water. It's just we'll provide... It could say 100,000 acre feet. It's just surplus water, and it's at their discretion.
Yeah. First off, you got to look at this chart up here. It says current acre feet, and the first line is raw water, $75, and then in the green it's $112.50. Then you go down to the per 1,000 gallons, and it's $1.76 or $1.88, so 12 cents difference per 1,000 is what that is. It looks worse when they do it in acre feet. than it is if you do it per thousand.
But I'm just saying, you can throw out any numbers.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee for water.
So
I would say if you're going to have surplus water, we got to have at least a floor. And if they're gonna say X amount up to this amount, and then we're gonna graduating scale on how much above that amount, then maybe that can be the surplus water that's subjectable. But I'd like to see some concrete, more than just surplus, something that we can count on.
Yeah.
Right. So none of this would be guaranteed water, is what you're.
I'm saying up to 0 to 300. Mm-hmm. It's not. There's no guarantee, and then they go ahead and
inflate it,
and say you'll get even, but it'll cost you more of water you may or may not get.
So
I think the way they use surplus is in excess of what they as a town need for their culinary and irrigation.
Yeah, but they don't. It's not just.
Well, can they guarantee us?
I had that thought, but I read it in here and I can't remember where it was at. It was basically they had other other, like if oil companies come in and they wanted to frack on Blue Bench.
They could pull it.
That would pull from us to go to the end.
We need some sort of a guarantee for the water.
Well, at least for the foundational part, and then I don't, you know, if they want to say, okay, up to this amount, you know, we'll give you maybe not 100% guarantee, but not just that, subject to whatever we have available at the time that you want it. Mm-hmm. That's what I have a little issue with. Because I don't mind, you know, kind of like Newfield. We have a contract with Newfield where they're first come of our excess water, right? Or surplus water, sorry. And then we had Crescent Point that was second, you know, to that. Well, that doesn't read this way, and I could be wrong, but I read it. It says that there is no guarantee of water, and it may go to somebody else that may not. That's how I read it. I don't think that's the intent that they brought, but that's the way the contract is, and if it comes to question, that's what we're going to have to abide by. Anybody else read that, or
overlook, I think, on my end, but you bring the point up, it's very valid. I think we do need at least a floor, guaranteed that we're going to get X amount of gallons, and on top of that, with the premium, sure, but we need at least a guarantee for some.
And in your words, the guarantee could be, you know, as long as Duchesne City residents, you know, or their, you know, not a fracking job, but their people need it.
So it skips my mind, but what was the time frame for this? Did they put a time limit on it, 5 years or something? I don't remember seeing that.
As far as the sunset on the contract?
It's when the contract ends, yeah.
I didn't see that in there.
The city will annually make a maximum 400 acre feet of water surplus needs available to Johnson Water, and will purchase from the city minimum. So we have to purchase a 200 minimum amount. So they're making us purchase a minimum.
So there's the
floor. That was the other one I forgot about. No, there is no floor. It's still. We made the way that this contract reads, why have our time at 200, they say we have to purchase 200, but it's all about surplus water.
So it may not be available.
Yeah.
Okay, so it just basically needs to read, and I'd like to move the 200 up. I'd like to have a minimum.
Well, you move it up as long as there was a guarantee,
right,
that was more solid than what they have now.
That's what I'm saying. If we move the minimum up to 400 or whatever, whatever you think, and then reword it to where it's a guaranteed water, not surplus. It's an addition to what the residents can use or something.
5-year term, Dixon.
5 years.
It does say that.
Beginning on the effective date and for a 5-year term, Johnson Water shall pay $75 per acre foot for 300 acre feet and $112 for anything over, up to 400 limit. So the limit you have 400 of surplus water.
But the next paragraph is, I think, what we've been going on forever, is that nothing in this contract precludes, does it say that, something like that?
What?
The next paragraph after that.
So the minimum of water is provided to Johnson Water on a take or pay basis. Johnson will pay for 100 acre feet of water annually, whether or not they take it.
Annually? Is all?
So that goes in, that kind of goes with the minimum of 200. So they've got a little conflict there. I didn't catch that until now.
Yeah, so the take and pay is the 100, right?
Well, they said here that Johnson will purchase a minimum of 200 in the first, or in the agreement, second bullet, or second paragraph, or bullet.
But if we don't take, then we pay it for 100.
No, it says that, see, the bullet number two says, sell surplus water, the 400 maximum is 400. The minimum that you'll buy is 200.
Right.
Then in another paragraph, they put it as 100 minimum.
Right. If you don't take any, you pay for
the time. Skip on down a little bit. There's one paragraph there that says nothing in this agreement precludes, maybe it's the very end, from selling additional water.
Hang on. No, they're saying one page that the minimum is 200, and the next page they're saying it's only 100.
That we have to pay out.
Both say you have to purchase 100 or 200.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so that...
They have a conflict there at their numbers.
Right.
And that's fine. Sorry, what was... Next one says, Johnson Water will also pay for all charges associated with the Warren Act billing for all water going through federal facility. I don't know what that is.
Okay, the Warren, it's W-A-R-R-E-N, not W-A-R-N.
The Warren Act. But anyway, you know what it is.
Yeah, it's so, because they own water, but they don't own storage capacity in Starvation. So it's just pass-through water. But in order for them to pass through, they have to pay $17 per acre foot.
A wheeling fee through the reservoir.
Yeah. And it went up from $1. Well, they haven't charged us yet. That's the thing. They passed, they went through all of the stuff. They said it's going to be $17, but they've never charged for it yet. So I don't know when that's going to start. I guess that's up to the Bureau of Reclamation.
What was it? So the other one talks, the next one talks about billing, how they're billing it. That's not what you wanted to talk about.
I think maybe the very last paragraph in there.
There's a damnification, notices governing, oh my gosh, hang on. So let's go through this. So the other one that I, so this is the language on if surplus
so
water,
you
no
at
longer
now?
Surplus. Huh?
Where are you at? Where
I'm on number 8. If the city determines in its own sole discretion that any or all of the surplus water is surplus to the needs of the city will provide Johnson Water 180-day notice of the reduction or termination of the sale of surplus water. Johnson acknowledges that it is purchasing surplus water and that the city's use of its water for the city residents take precedent over this agreement, and that the city may also temporarily reduce or suspend delivery of water to Johnson Water at any time if the city needs water for its residents.
So that's pretty, they need, if they need water for its residents, that means that they can make more money somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying it's kind of... I anyway.
Well, didn't expect anything less, I don't think, in the rebuttal or in a contract. They're going to try to protect themselves. They're going to try.
Right,
to,
right. You never...
And either we do it or we don't. That's the terms and conditions at the end of a... work of the contract, you got to sign it. If you want it, you're going to have to sign something. But we can up the minimum, I think, if we feel that we need to.
I don't think we should get any minimum without a guarantee.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If we up the minimum with a guarantee that we're going to get that minimum, then anything on top of that, sure, we're subject to all of this. But I think that minimum amount should not be subject to surplus water. I think it should be a guarantee.
Yeah, they can't ask for both.
Right.
Or they can't have it that loose.
Right. So, do we need to, I don't know, how's the temperature with them, Dixon? Are you just getting emails back and forth? Or?
Yeah, I haven't sat down and talked. So, in fact, I haven't seen Rodney since the water conference over there.
Oh, Rural Water?
Mm-hmm. No, not Rural Water.
Rural Water, water Summit.
Grace.
Gotcha. Is it something you think, do we need to have just a rendezvous with Rodney and have a face-to-face? A lot of times that goes a lot further than email back and forth.
Yeah, it'd be a lot faster.
So SDCW is South Duchesne
water?
That's a remnant from a previous contract, I think.
Okay.
But I'm willing for them.
I was going to say, this sounds a lot like, so we're working with South Duchesne, and I put together a master plan for them. It sounds very familiar to their contract.
So,
I wonder if they use that as like a template.
Yeah, so, but in that part, I'm willing to let them hold the liability for us if they'd like.
Yeah. Yeah, science. And then you can get out of control.
Well, maybe reach out and see if we can have another meeting. Should we maybe just form a committee that can meet with Dixon and Rodney, and so we all don't have to, so Dixon can have some representation from the board, but knowing that we all aren't going to be able to make it. What's your thoughts on that? Nobody's raising their hand.
Great, I'm great with it, as long as it's not me, right?
Paul's green.
So what I was talking about is in number two there, the very last paragraph says, nothing in the agreement shall be construed to preclude or limit the ability of the city to make additional surplus water in excess of the amount stated above available to Johnson. Okay. So I think that's kind of how we were acting in the previous contract.
Sure.
And so if they were to have, say, a better offer, then they could cut us back to the contract if they wanted.
Right, right.
Well, I think it's in everybody's, if they have water available, it's in their interest to spend the money.
Right.
Or to get money from it, to let it go down to Lake Powell.
The more money they sell, the more money they make. But the more money, the more water they sell through that plant lowers the operational cost for everybody who buys water through that plant.
Right.
So the more water that they can sell lowers their costs for treated water.
So it's in the best interest to always maintain that, regardless of what we try to work out with the minimums and some sort of guarantees that are, you know, I don't expect them to sacrifice their actual residents' water for us. And I don't think they're going to be in that position. They won't be in that position, so that's not an issue. The issue is I don't want to be, you know, I can make $20 an acre feet over here for this frack, and so Johnson gets second.
We want a guarantee.
Because we're in the contract. It's no different than how we treated Newfield.
Well, you're too low. $20 isn't going to do anything.
Well,
so if we...
It's higher than what we're paying. Oh,
no,
$200. $200. All right, I got to get on there.
So I'll throw a couple names out and let me know if it works for you guys. If we have Dixon and Paul and Dusty, maybe work through this one for us.
Well, I think we ought to have the people that be left over next year.
It's up to you guys. I whatever you
we
need.
Can make, you know, I don't know when, I guess make
the... It really depends on the timing for me. I'm willing to do it if it works.
And I don't know, Rodney's kind of turning more and more over to Lane, so I don't know whether Lane would be negotiating.
Well, just invite them to come to a discussion and bring, you know, whoever they need to. Yeah. They can decide who to bring, but if we just have a working committee to kind of work through some of this, I don't think it's going to need to be drug out.
So the other option is that they have a contract, they proposed a contract, okay, with the Victory Pipeline, Duchesne County Water Conservancy District, to provide them with 4 CFS for the Victory Pipeline, which is 1,795 gallons a minute, or something like that. He wants to get more. He wants to get like 4.2 or something like that. He wants to go back. And so there is like 600 acre feet of water that is non-committed out of the Victory Pipeline, out of that amount. If it goes to 4.2, it's even more. And so previously he has been selling us extra water out of the Victory above and beyond our 1,000 acre feet. But now we've got more players into it. So East Duchesne has 400 acre-feet contract, but he's probably selling them more than their contract as well. But he charges a premium price. So once you get over here, contract, it goes up. So if he's paying 75 cents, he charges you the capacity charge is what he's charging you. And if he goes over his contract with Duchesne, Duchesne increases it. So even though it may be 112.5, they may charge him another $50 on top of that for premium water over his contract. So then you're paying premium for capacity, and you're paying premium for the raw water as well. So it's, and all of this is industrial. So you got to set your the oil field frac flows basically. So we've got to set our frac flow prices enough to cover those premium prices to make sure we're still coming out okay on those. But so if they refuse to allow us water through the aqueduct, we can still buy a certain amount of additional water through different pipelines.
So we have an option.
But it would be best for us to work it out both
right,
ways.
Right.
Yeah. What is their annual? You know what their annual sales are? Duchesne for the water. Do you have any idea?
What? How much they sell? What's our annual bill to them?
Like for their whole?
Yeah. What's their system bring in? You know? Do you have any clue?
For their water system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we got our budget of like $2 million. Do you know what theirs is?
I can find it right now for you if you want.
Well, you know, I'm just curious.
So on the website, if you go to our website,
it's probably something we can talk about in negotiations. But
so you can go to this, and under transparency, under governance, you go to transparency, and you go down here to financial transactions. And it'll take you to the state, Transparent Utah.
So let me ask you a question while you're doing that. We're not... last year, Newfield, or Old Vantive wasn't... they're not buying any water injection, right? They didn't really ever buy water for injecting purpose out. Pump Station 1 and 2, right?
Yeah. We're like a 1,000 gallons a day out of there now.
Okay. And if that was to increase significantly, what does that look like?
Say that again.
If that was to increase significantly this year, next year, what would that look like?
It would not look good. Because...
obviously we got 600, we just figured, but...
because we will be filling like 24/7 their new pumps.
So if Scout becomes aggressive and they're in... their efforts out there, say drilling, fracking.
They're going to need water. So right now, they do not have a connection.
But they may need
money. We're confused because Newfield told us.
I know more about it. It's not as confusing now. But I can't disclose stuff.
But they bought the pump station.
I know what their intent is. I know why there's confusion now. Why they're saying open to buying and selling. I know a little bit more. So anyway, I can't say nothing good. Anyway, but it's just going to increase. Let's put it that way.
So let's move on. If you guys will help Dixon, I guess, is that okay with the board? Or a little subcommittee?
I'd be happy to come.
Okay.
Well, maybe not happy.
Just send a note out. As long as you get two people there.
Yeah.
Just set up a meeting, and you should be able to get two people out of the full 4 or 5 of us.
Just respond to them, just so we know who's going, and we've got representation. If they're going to take the time to come over, we need to make sure we've got some people there as well. So set it up, Dixon, and just let us know.
Okay.
We'll work it in. So
here's their revenue. I don't know how they break that down. I lost my...
Just bring that information with you. Thanks. Okay. Where are you at there?
I don't know. I lost my cursor. I'm in my... it's not coming back.
Oh, we got East Duchesne. We just talked about East Duchesne.
It's up there.
Oh, because I'm in PowerPoint. That's why I won't show.
It's a good thing to lose your cursor. Right. Whatever that means.
That's what we do when we work jobs, right? Cursor?
Anyway, that's the users of Victory. So it shows we got 605 extra acre feet.
Don't go back, will you?
I don't know how to go back now because my cursor's not.
Go. Can you use arrow the other way? There you go. So did this is what was actually used?
And no, this is that's the contract on Victory Pipeline.
That's the contract. Okay. That's all.
Okay, so the other thing was because of this, all of these things out there, we've got Scout, Patel, Ovintiv, potential improvements. We've talked with our engineers months ago about how we solve that solution. And it's like if these oil companies, we have a contract with Ovintiv. If they want more water than we can deliver right now, we have to get more infrastructure. If Scout wants water, we have to get infrastructure. If Patel wants to build a bunch of houses, we've got infrastructure. So whether we get all these guys working together to put up some money to build infrastructure for the system, you know, I just put up rough numbers there, but it was going to be, I didn't put the numbers up, did I? But we talked about a 5 million gallon tank up on top of Flat Top. And a 5 to 6 mile pipeline, and they suggested an 8-inch, but with that amount of water, we thought, you know, while we're doing it, we may as well put in a big one, 16. You know, if this, and the railroad hasn't even been factored in yet, so, but if those guys want to put up some money to get a whole ton of water out there, you also have to buy a block of project water to put through it, because
that's still available.
That there is some still available, yeah.
Man, we ought to think
but it's going to cost like $300 an acre foot.
Oh my gosh! For a year?
Yeah.
Indefinitely?
Can we just buy it and own it?
No. You pay $300 an acre foot per year, yeah.
Oh.
But he's looking into whether he can buy it every year, and so you don't have to buy it every year. Clyde is looking into that because.
Okay.
Well, he was kind of upset because these guys, he talked to them last summer saying, look, October we have to have the application in for this additional block of water. Mm-hmm. And neither Ovintiv or Scout or anybody came to him. Now they're wanting water. And
came to Clyde?
Came to Clyde, yeah.
Through us, though.
Through us, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Just so we're clear.
So he they're talking to him because he runs a Victory Pipeline and he has to get that block of water. And,
well, I think that's something that definitely keep...
It'll be on their own, though. That's going to be the thing.
Yeah.
But if they all want to get together...
They'll have to put the infrastructure.
If they all want to get together and share costs and make some kind of super contract about how this is going to all work.
So
we got to have plans come up.
Yeah. Like I said, There's a couple of things, not just the railroad, that's going to make it kind of pop a little bit more. So
Clyde knows we're interested.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Just so we're.
And we're meeting again with him on Tuesday. With Scout, is that right? Or who else?
I don't know because Scout was supposed to get back to Jim. He's on the phone with us. I'll call him in 20 minutes, and that was Tuesday. And
who's the contact for Scout right now? You know?
I can't remember.
It gets confusing because sometimes Scout themselves calls up and then another Wasatch Engineering or Consulting or somebody calls up. And so one guy calls me, one guy calls Jim. And I guess Jim's talking to them both. But
I was under the assumption that from Jim that Scout and Ovintiv, one personnel from each at least was going to be third Tuesday.
Good. Just over on
the whether that is happening, they're both showing up, I don't know.
It makes sense.
Good, good. And then just for your information, this Web TMS is the web ticket management system for Blue Stakes. They're doing away with it. So this company called Northfield, basically they changed their operating thing, and it hasn't cost us anything to use this, but now there's some kind of web ticket management system where you keep track of all your tickets and you got history and everything, and you can record pictures. If they've jazzed it up, that's going to cost us money.
And we have to.
And basically, you got to do it.
Okay.
So that's going to be coming up. It's probably, I think I've heard anywhere from $25 a month to $325 a year, but I sent in the information and they're supposed to send me a bid back. So I'll let you know when I get that. Anyway, that's the new one there.
Is there a contract now? Is that where they changed the name?
It was Northfield that did Web TMS, but now they're going to DigLogix or whatever it's called.
Okay.
And it's but still Northfield. And they do that for a lot of the states, 811 call-in systems. So, and every time you go into the site to look at your Blue Stakes, there's a reminder that Web TMS is being obsolete, yeah. So by the end of this year, it'll be gone.
Okay.
Okay, so let's see, what else have I got on here?
Gulch Crossing?
The Gulch Crossing, we're still, I don't know, Jim's been calling.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of Kenny all week.
Somebody pushed the road in over there, I noticed today.
That was Jim L. Ryan.
Okay.
Try to motivate.
Yeah, we went and cut the road in there, but Kenny had him. I seen him moving cows the other day, and we should have stopped and talked to him, but we didn't.
You guys called him at all?
Yeah, Jim's called him 100 times.
Anyone call back?
Won't turn the call, won't text him.
Oh, that's worrisome.
I'll corner him. I can't corner him.
So anyway, we're...
Don't give up on getting all that, but I'll try to help. I'll try to help.
Okay. Hibernating still.
We have time for
yes.
Well, he was to get going as soon as we approved it. He was ready to go. So.
Yeah, the deep snow is kind of scary, I think. But I think it's better with the deep snow than it is with
turning into a deep or what?
Let it go.
Take a hint.
Okay.
Okay, Ryan, you want to talk? A lot of ice in that gulch, too, though. It's deep.
It's filled up pretty good.
There's going to be a lot of water in it.
Yeah, it's going to say now it's going to be running like a wild man.
He's got a window. He'll have to hit it, I guess. But
okay.
Just keep on him, I guess, and see what we can come up with.
Okay, so we've got to go through the bids later on, I guess, on the water shares.
Yeah.
Did we get two bids? Is that what we got?
I think we got four.
Should we save that to the end? Just the bids.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get that to the end.
And then
let's get through everything else.
The truck I ordered came in. I haven't really been driving it much because I'm waiting to get a new toolbox in it and the seat covers because we're just covered in mud lately and I don't want to ruin the seats until I got some seat covers on there. So I haven't been driving it very much. And then, Ryan, you want to tell them about the... Ultra.
I only printed off one copy of that, Drew. That's just a list, cabin chassis, governor, GVW weight limits for Ford and Dodge. Could have from their 1 tons, could have their 5,500. The ticket is the weight of the Hydrovaca loan, and that's fancy weight, 16,000 pounds. So we have that, coming back, I'm sorry, that silver truck went down. Called L&L on it, and I believe it's the 22nd of this month they could get it in to look at it. So I guess we'll take it to them, see what they have to say about that. But I was talking to Scott, I believe is his name. He's a mechanic over there at L&L.
Mm-hmm.
But I just asked him about it, and he was saying, because we took it in last year for brakes, I believe. Yeah, I think it was the last year. Jim said it was when they got brakes on it. Anyway, just the sheer weight of them pushing them trucks and stuff, especially coming off by it, the hill here and whatnot. He said, look up your GVW weight on the trucks and what you're actually legal for, yada, yada, yada. So we ran scale weight on that hydrovac, and then I got on today on like Case's website and stuff and did the weights of the back along the trailer and whatnot. And both of our big trucks are about 12,000 pounds, depending on if we have, that's if we have mud or whatnot in the hydrovac, 12,000 pounds underweight to be pulling legally any of that, the backhoe or the hydrovac.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to think about.
Well, legal, legally, you're talking...
You just know, the GVW.
Yeah, the GVW can...
Not DOT, but right. GVW weight. Anyway, so he just... Because we got a new receiver.
So let's back up just a minute. So what did L&L say about the truck as far as what's wrong with it?
They're taking it on the 22nd.
Oh, so we have an appointment?
No, we haven't even took the truck.
Okay, so we don't know what's wrong with it. It's lost oil pressure.
It lost oil pressure.
Okay.
Luckily, it was just right here. So we just shut it off, put it neutral. Dixon pulled me,
okay.
Towed me in. So they're going to take care of it. But anyway, I just brought that.
Rock?
It does, but it's not like, I don't know if it dropped a rod. It doesn't sound like a piston. I don't know. It's kind of a different knock.
Well, if it's a knock, that's not...
It's a knock, but it's...
Okay, so that's why he's bringing this...
But anyway, I just brought that just because I was talking to the mechanic, and he said, just look at your weights and stuff.
So what is this? You said you brought this.
This is your payload weights and stuff for Dodge and Ford. Pulled off the website. Send it out.
So what the discussion was is they're talking at least a minimum of a 1 ton or bigger.
So what are we pulling this now? 3/4 tons?
1 ton.
Yeah, 1 ton.
New lease.
1 ton.
Mm-hmm. So so that's what they were talking about here. Well, the truck's got some problems. We don't know how much it's going to cost to repair. Maybe give us some mileage in the year on that truck.
2014, I think we're driving around 115.
Okay, 115,000.
Yeah. So, like, those weren't, like, I'm not saying we need to buy a truck today.
Right, yeah.
Just those, just to sort of reference to look out.
Just to give us a little bit of
back. What we're pulling on weight for what the GVWs are that we're pulling on truck.
So what you're saying is that was 1 ton, not rated.
They aren't rated, no.
And that's pulling what we're doing. So you need to go to
even on that
F450 or something.
5500 or a 554 F550 gets you right there in a better range.
So even to pull a hydrovac, Jim had to have the hitch.
We have a new
hitch put
on
there.
But we haven't done anything with it. The back of that truck isn't built for that kind of weight, 16,000 pounds on that back, I believe, 15.9. So the
empty?
Empty. So the hitch is rated for it, but it is already actually cracked, just not the weld, but the paint.
On this gray truck?
On the white one, just from hauling it this last 4 or 5 times we've hauled it, it's already cracked the paint out, so. Just a concern there, you know. Anyway, I just pulled those from there.
So right now we have where we're at, I guess, is Dixon's got a new truck. We've got his old truck for now. We could potentially, Ryan's not without a truck if he could use Dixon's old truck until we figure out what's wrong with the new truck, potentially, and then make a decision on whether to fix or replace. An idea. So I don't think there's any sense in auctioning off his truck when we need it.
Yours was just a half.
It won't be a pull truck.
No, I'm just remembering what it was.
So, even if best case scenario, if we order one, we're probably still gonna be a ways.
Well, I don't know the numbers on them, but there's some of those little international diesel trucks that jake brakes the whole nine yards. That you can buy used ones of those that are pretty dang good trucks, and they would handle the weight that you're talking about. But I got to have CDLs to,
yeah,
to drive them.
I had a thought.
An air brake, you got to have CDL.
I had a thought after the fact. That dump trailer, of course, we took the recommendations from staff, but as well. We could use a small dump truck. Pull the vac, pull the backhoe. We'd have the dump. Instead, we bought the trailer, which sounds like it's not large enough. It's not big enough. That's what the report came back last month.
So you're talking about smaller dump trucks, like the city uses.
Right, like the little three yard or five yard.
Fire tipper?
Yeah. But they're built to pull, but...
No, I think what it was is we loaded it up and we put a little bit too much on so it wouldn't dump.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The capacity is not to what you guys need.
It's not meant to be chuck full of sand or dirt.
Right. So, hindsight, right? I'm just thinking now we've had a truck go down, we're needing something larger to maximize our benefit from equipment. We could use a small dump truck, probably better more than we could a dump trailer and an extra truck.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't need a, at that point, we wouldn't need another one-ton truck and spend money on six wheels and everything else. We could get another half-ton truck to run around and run parts.
Well, I'm not in the hydrovac. I can see you're moving more. The hours that we've had on the backhoe, it's not moving very much.
Anyway.
And the new policies that we're looking at may even make it less, so... But yeah, I get what you're saying, and I agree. But we need to be noodling that between now and probably next meeting.
Right, so we'll be kicking those ideas around. We'll have to find out what's wrong with it. If it's toast, then we'll have to decide what to do.
If it's knocking.
It's probably toast, but...
You lost pressure.
In the meantime, probably behooves to find out exactly what that's going to cost, and then we can make an educated decision on how to move forward. But,
well, like I was saying, some of these other trucks, they're made to pull.
Yes.
And they'll pull what you need to pull.
What would the resale value be on a dump trailer?
they're hot items.
I mean, if we took a little bit of a loss.
Yeah, you'd take a little loss, but they would still sell for premium.
But if we're going to get something, I suggest that we would do a small dump truck, and then we would we'd have a panel hitch on it. We'd have the capacity of a dump truck. Get a lot more benefit out of it.
But what do we have for goosenecks?
Well, we'd have to get a tilt at that point. Or do you mean to pull
the trailers?
Yeah, we'd have to get another piece of equipment. We'd have to get a tilt deck trailer.
You'd have to sell the gooseneck.
Which I don't think they're in love with the gooseneck anyway. It's pretty light duty.
Yeah.
They've had to spend some major reconstruction on it. But.
Well, these are definitely not four wheel drive, you know. But they're.
They'd get you to the.
They work. They're built to work with more so than a one ton or.
Anyway, just some thoughts. I had that thought when we were talking about it the other day for a pre-agenda. Man, dump truckers, you know, something like Dan's talking about, a combination of both. I think we could get more bang for our buck. So.
Especially because on there, even the big truck, 5500 and stuff, they're still, I mean, they're right at.
Yeah, they'll
weigh.
And we're gonna be roading this truck for day-to-day operations without pulling it. So. We're spending a lot of money.
As little as we use that backhoe.
Right. Okay. Well, some things to think about in between now and next meeting. You guys will probably have an answer for us on the trip as far as what's wrong with it by next time.
Yeah, I think it's 22nd.
So, direction on Dixon's old truck. We keep it for now. Ryan can utilize that. Is that everybody's consensus? Okay. You okay with that, Dixon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. That's probably what you guys are doing now anyway, I assume.
Yeah, we usually need to move the truck yet.
We haven't really even driven the new truck yet, so.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Ryan, for that and the information.
You don't need to keep them.
Keep this, because we'll probably need that in our next discussion.
For waste library.
Yeah. Okay. That takes care of all that. You done, Dixon, on your side? I think we'll fund that to the end as far as the shares go.
Yeah. There was one more thing. What was it? Oh. policy on, we've had mostly businesses, they go home on Friday, they're gone Saturday and Sunday, they come back Monday and their water's frozen. And it's mostly businesses that drive right over, park right on top of the water meter and the lateral going in there, so they're driving across down there. And they refuse to leave a trickle going. So some places we've been back three or four times. And it's like, how many times am I going to go back on the company dying, you know?
What do you mean when you go back?
Because it freezes up again. The meter freezes again. So
the meter's froze.
Yeah, so we go open it up and put the exhaust in there for an hour and thaw it out again. But it's like, some of them have just refused to...
The meter gets unthawed, does it fix their problem?
Oh yeah, on some of them. But then on others, did Moser ever get theirs going, you know? I think theirs are still frozen. Their lateral's frozen. We've thawed out the meter, so we have water, but the line to their house is, not their house, their office is frozen.
Moser's right there by,
by Bonzil.
Yeah.
And so we need to come up with some policy about, like, you know, we'll help you out once or twice, but we're not going to do it every day all winter.
Well, but if we're thawing the meter then, and it's working after you thaw the meter, then how is it anything but our issue?
Because they're not running water. They're parking on top of it.
The meter?
Yeah. They're driving the frost down into that meter.
So anything frozen from the meter in should be their responsibility.
Right.
The line.
But if the meter's frozen, it's ours.
But the meter, you get the meter thawed, then...
And then we tell them to trickle water. Because all they got to do is put a trickle in there, and it will keep that meter from freezing. But they don't do it. Oh, it's going to fill the septic tank. Well, run a hose out on the ground or something, you know. But they just haven't done it. So then they're gone. And this has only happened to a couple of houses, but it's happened to like four or five businesses who are gone over the weekend. And so even if you just turn it on intermittently every day, it doesn't freeze up. But the guys who are gone for two full days, you come back and it's frozen up.
So these are ones that have been warned to keep your water running multiple times.
Yeah.
So
are we...
Go ahead.
Are we Johnny on the spot the third and fourth time, or are we kind of all get there?
Well, Jim has actually gone out and bought hoses and stuck on their faucet and turned it on to make sure the meter doesn't freeze up.
Hmm. So if we...
So Johnson's buying the hoses, that they should be taken care of. That should be their responsibility.
Yeah.
But if they've been told to throw up, we may be busy for a bit.
Right, or if we have to come back a second time because of negligence, maybe we ought to hit them with a little bit of a hourly or something.
Something being out of water and you can't see all day is going to be incentive enough to maybe... Run water.
But I wouldn't supply the stuff for them. Like, is that what we're doing? We're supplying hoses for them?
I don't. Just on one that I know.
Oh, okay.
Did we do it?
Well, I'm not so concerned about that. It's just we're now, if something happens, a flood somewhere.
We're liability because we got the hose running.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be
through their system.
Is it something that you're looking for a policy on, Dixon, or just direction?
Well, there's two things. A policy on it, like, there's ways around it, okay? They could go through and they could build an island so they don't park on top of their meter and they don't drive over their water line. And so it won't drive the frost in the ground. That's one thing. We could put a policy that if you have a meter, it has to be protected from freezing. Okay. The other way is they could dig it up and put foam over it. Just a sheet of foam would keep that frost from freezing that line or around the meter box or whatever. The other thing is having in our standards having that it has to be where it will never be driven over
right.
when it's installed. and they have to show us the plan for their house or their business or whatever. And the meter is in a location that will not ever be driven near or over.
Yeah. Well, it's simple. For old stuff, legacy stuff, policies, you don't drive on them. That's a policy.
And moving forward.
Yeah, there's a policy, you don't drive on them, and so if you determine when you get there, this has been drove over, then that's the cause of this, and then so then you can, part of that policy can be whatever the ramifications decided for that. They can put a barrier around it if they want to protect that. It don't really matter. We're putting the onus on them. You're just saying you can't drive on it. You control your employees. You control your own traffic. If you want to put a barrier around it, it's up to you. If you want to dig it, it's up to you. If you want to put phones, up to you. But if you call us and it's been, you know, a trafficked area, that's on you.
I would make a recommendation as far as going off our policy, but if you're having to go back more than once, implement our hourly rate of time backhoe. We have a rate already approved schedule.
And we did that on one of them because they had gone in, never called a blue stake or anything, and they graded their area out front and covered our meter in 6 inches of road base. So if you ever try to dig through 6 inches of road base, frozen solid, it's not... I took the backhoe out, but the backhoe couldn't do it. So then I took the hydro back and we turned the heater on. We melted our way through that road base down to get to the meter.
Did you use the metal detector to find them?
Yeah.
Well, we have precautions in place. I feel like we already have them. I don't know if we need to policy it again, more or less just implement what we already have in place.
So we did send them a bill because it took us, how many hours did we put? 3 hours or something on that? Of work to get that.
Is there a way that...
And it was on a weekend.
That we could, maybe on the bill that goes out, is there a way that you could winter precautions or something?
Yeah, and we put that on the website as well. So, yeah, we put, what was it we put on the bill last month? Something
about plowing over their meter.
The problem is that we're having in our area is everybody's on septic and nobody wants to fill their septic drain filled up with water. So the recommendation would be to run a hose to an inconspicuous or a conspicuous place that won't damage anything and let it trickle run.
Well, it's like this year, it freezes before it goes 10 feet away from the end of the hose.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not going
to... So they're going to have to figure...
So is this an issue that they're driving on or is this just an issue?
It's an issue that they're driving on.
So that's the problem.
Anywhere where we have a meter that goes into a house that's totally covered by snow, we've never had a problem.
Okay, so it's more of the driving on.
In fact, I got stuck going out to the treatment plant because I couldn't see because of a blizzard going on, and I'd just been on that road a couple of days before. And there was a drift across there, and I just got stuck for a while. And I dug out the truck, and I thought, well, I'm going to get some dirt and put under there. So I went 5 feet off the road, dug through 2.5 feet of snow, and stuck the shovel in and pulled up a whole shovel full of dirt. The ground's so not frozen under there.
It was good insulation all winter, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I suspect you're going to have deep ruts in your field.
Whatever you guys think on that one. I mean, I think it's common sense to our customers that they should not drive over their meter.
One other thing, we've had two of our lines be froze out in Independence. They're hauling all that sand out there, so UNT County widened the road. So now they're driving over an 1.5-inch line at the very end. There's just one house that's got about 1/4 mile of pipe. They weren't using it overnight. Well, those big trucks are now running right over our water line. So they drove that frost in there and froze it up. We went out and dug it up and thawed it out and got it going again. We had to do that twice because they didn't think there was water going. So Jim fixed that one, so we've got a drain. It's running constantly. But the point is, Mrs. Cook out there, same thing. That line froze where it's frozen like...
Merlin?
Yeah. It's frozen like... I ran into Leon Fillingham, and he came out and told me the whole story. He says it's frozen like 5 or 6 times in the exact same place. He came out and showed me exactly where it was frozen. Because I didn't know where the line was. because our map shows it goes on the north side of the road. He says, no, it crosses right here. We dug down, sure enough, he was right on. We thought it out. But what we need to do on that one is go back and dig up the road and put a layer of foam over top of it. That's what we did up at Ames' house, because they were always freezing up there.
Yes.
And
Jim Ames?
Not Jim Ames.
Oh.
The one out on 4000 South.
Oh. Just in Florida.
And they never froze up this year. That foam must have worked. But also, they rebuilt the road in a new location, so they cut off like a foot and a half of fill over top of the existing pipeline when they built that new road. So now it's only 3.5 feet deep.
So we'll have to dig it up and put some insulation on it.
Yeah, so if we just do that, we spend a couple $100 and go dig that up and put some foam on top of it, then I don't think we'll have any more problem with that.
That'd be preventative. That would save us in the long run.
So.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
I think that's enough for today. We got more to go here, don't we?
Yeah, we got a big agenda tonight.
That's all right. Sorry to cut you guys off. I'm just trying to hurry through, get out of here before the sun comes back up. So report on rural water. You guys that went down. You that went down. Jim's not here.
So like on the lead deal. I attended one seminar that was getting the lead out of your service line inventory, and they talked about a lot of the things that was talked about here about getting somebody from the state to pitching somebody up to do it, and that's probably one of the things we need to look at, because I don't know, I'm as frustrated at it or more than is voiced here, and I don't understand how they can make the rural water user responsible for.
Where they getting booed hit?
Pardon?
Where they getting booed hit?
Yeah.
In the meeting.
So at any rate, that was one of them I went to. And then another session I went to was on employee retention, creating a happy place on earth. The guy that did the presentation there, he was from Harriman City, but he talked about how Disney used to be the happy place and whatnot.
And wait, now Disney?
Pardon?
Did you say Disney?
Yes.
Okay.
So you need to send them to Disneyland?
And
so
and
you
how,
a truck that can fall, you get a better ride with a half ton with a fall man. So.
And how
you want Disneyland.
They changed leadership, and it has changed the company quite a bit. Then another session I went to with the emergency response on things that they've
done. The ice falling.
Somebody coming to collect the bounty?
If we was to have a line break and how we were supposed to contact the state and things like that, and you know, sometimes you got to put things out to the public.
We need to do
how we should probably have a spokesman for the group rather than everybody talking to the media or whatnot. And then another one I went to was the physical security of our facilities. I think there's some things there that we need to look at, get some brought up, our fencing and things like that, that we need to probably do what we can to keep people out of our facilities. elected official responsibilities, that was probably a good one for me. And then there was two or three on the lead thing, and then cybersecurity was another one that we need to be aware of. That's basically I think most of what I attended. So.
Good time, huh?
It was very informative. Probably some frustration there that some of it.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one. So, well, it's good to go down as members. As Dan can attest, going last year, it's good for us to get a sense of what we're up against, what the state's coming down with, what these guys are out in the field doing, and kind of get a knowledge of where we're heading. So that's good that you went. Okay.
That first time that you've been down this morning.
Thank you, I'm Paul. Moving on to fraud risk assessment.
You're one over me.
So you guys got these, I believe, in your... Have you had a chance to read over your fraud risk assessment that you're going to sign? Conflict of interest policy? Yeah.
It's right here. I will be no conflict of interest.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Karen. Every year we have to sign a conflict of interest statement as far as board members. So it's... If you haven't had a chance to read over it, maybe browse through it real quick.
Okay.
Thanks, Jason. If there's any questions.
The conflict of interest policy, we went over last month, and I made the correction that Dustin said. So
it's the same policy that we had before us last month with the correction of, what did we have corrected again?
The water.
Oh, the water. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we
I'm just like, man, I didn't know you were too fussy, but I was.
We just had one correction that we changed the word on.
So if you're all good with it, just sign you the copy that you have on the back.
And borrow that.
And then
back to this one.
Uh-huh. And then put it in the file. Mm-hmm.
I will not be a conflict. I will not cause conflict. Oh, no. I'm not signing
it. Okay, and this one.
That one is your code of ethics, which is this one here.
We need to read this out. Okay, so the next one's the Code of Ethical Conduct. Excuse me. Carrie, you want to explain that?
Okay, so the Code of Ethical Conduct is... things that you guys agreed with, and it was written up in 2021. I updated it and changed Dean's and Dan's name on here, and Ryan's name's on here too. To maintain high standards of personal, professional integrity, truthfulness, honesty in all public activities, to inspire public confidence and trust in districts and units of local government. So these are the things that you guys agreed to.
So agree to all those terms, sign your paper, and give it back to Sheriff.
Yeah. And this one here, just sign that one.
Okay. We'll be good.
What'd you say? He'd be good.
We'll be in contact.
So we need to sign both?
Yeah, this is just the main one. This one here is your
expectation.
Okay, we'll pass that one around. Basically, that's the same thing that you signed on the individual form. It's just the main
the main agreement there. So print and sign on the one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to be on it. Thanks, sir.
He did what your brother said. He said
okay.
Yeah, he don't want
to
hear what you
have
to say.
You can do it later.
You're going to have to charge me. I'll give you a Snickers.
I still got one. Okay. So that takes care of our fraud risk. Everybody get it turned back to Karen. Oh, still working on it. Okay. That takes care of everything on the fraud risk, man.
For this month. I didn't want to crash it all. So
okay.
We'll take
a little bit each month and go through our fraud risk so we don't bombard.
We have 6 months to get it done. So
the first 6 months.
We've got 2 months left.
And that has to be done every...
Every year.
Every year.
That was part of our audit.
Yes.
Let's just check.
Did we get word back from... Are we in compliance with the state with that audit thing?
Yeah. Oh, I assume. I haven't heard anything back. I assume the same thing.
Okay, the next...
The auditors send it, and then I send it to you.
The next few I'll take here, I guess, because they're the ones that I had her put on the agenda. The agenda mail-out. So this last week, we got the... When did you mail them out? Wednesday?
Oh,
God.
Thursday.
So did everybody get their agendas in the mail before Friday?
I would say, I don't know, because I couldn't find mine. I asked my wife, and she couldn't find it either.
So. Did you get your email?
I did.
Okay.
Did we get them? Is that what you said?
Before Friday. So
I think so.
Okay. The intent with this is bumping up our deadline for agenda items from the public to, and for us, anybody who wants to get anything on the agenda, to be Wednesday at the end of the day, Wednesday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So the end of the day Tuesday prior to the meeting. No.
A week.
Sorry. A week prior to the meeting. That way Karen, myself, have, and staff have a chance to sit down and go over things. And then we can, in return, get the agenda mailed to us before the weekend in case we've got policy to mull over. The way we're not, how it's been for me, I get it either Monday or, well, no. It's about Tuesday or Wednesday I get the agenda mailed to me in the mail. If she's been emailing it, though, so part of it's my own fault. But by the time we get it, have time to browse through it, we're up against the meeting. So if you like me, we procrastinate. So the intent was to hopefully have the weekend that we can take the time to digest the policies that Dixon's going to be sending out. And we're trying to maybe limit those to 2 or 3 a month so we can spend the time needed on the policies because we want to move those forward. Any suggestions, negatives, positives, feedback?
So up on the website, you go to governance, board meeting, and then there's an application for anybody who wants to appear before the board for like a proposal for a subdivision or for water connection. And you click on that, and it's got a form to fill out for an agenda appointment. And we can put a deadline on there saying it has to be in by Tuesday or whatever, the week before, so it would be put out to you guys so you can see what's coming up. So that's just one thing that would help too. Plus the agenda is on there as well. If you go to board meetings, if it's easier to you to just go to the website and then just click on the agenda, and then you've got the agenda there, or we can email it, whatever. You know,
I'd rather it emailed. That way we've got it.
Send a reminder by text. I don't know.
I got the email. I looked at it the same day I got it. I don't know what happened to the mail. I don't know. I'm usually not too far behind anybody, so I don't know what happened.
I like to have the paper copy to bring, but I also like the email to review. But I like to make notes on the paper. So, are you still wanting a paper copy mailed to you, Dusty?
I like to do like this.
Yeah. Make notes and.
Yeah, I just have it because it's disappeared. I don't know.
Dog ate.
My wife, I usually she keeps track of it for me, and she says she hasn't seen it either. So.
So any suggestions? Is that something that works for you guys? Do you see any problems?
So are you putting a date on it, Tim? Tuesday before.
For people who want to be on the agenda, yeah. To put a deadline on.
So the only thought I had is if somebody has something to come and if they want on in the last minute because they've got a problem that you need to have come before the board. If we, I'm not suggesting we do this now, but if we see that being a problem in the future, let's try it this way, but if we see that as a problem, we can have maybe an open comment or something at the beginning of the meeting. That way they can get off their chest what they need to. They don't necessarily have to be on the agenda. We can limit it like Roosevelt does. They limit it to, I think, 3 minutes.
But they can't take action on
no,
it.
No, no actions. No actions, but that at least gives them an opportunity to come to the board instead of waiting a whole month and letting us brew for a whole 30 days. So that is something that potentially we could add in if we see that as a problem, or maybe we should just do that anyway.
There's always room for public comment.
So if we have it,
it's always good practice.
So if we have at our beginning of the meeting, 6:30, open public comment period.
I like having open public comments, as long as it's got a limit.
3 minute period.
Let them vent and.
Yep.
And there's always we can always grant more if it's appropriate.
That way, it would defuse any situation that would come to the staff as. You can't get on the agenda because your time's up and you have to wait another 30 days. That would defuse the situation, give them an opportunity to get off what they need to get off.
Yeah, I'm for a little public comment. I don't think it'll be utilized, but it is there.
No, probably never will, but.
Well, they might, but it's there.
Ryan might have something to complain about it, so he could take his 3 minutes.
30 days.
This doesn't go for staff. This is just for the public. Just kidding, right? Okay. So if you guys are all good with that, we'll continue forward with that practice if we need to fine-tune it.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. The other one I had on here, I need some feedback on this one. We have always talked about doing an open house since we built this building. Right, Dusty? We never done it. We never got around to doing it. We got busy. And here we've been in this building for how many years now?
4 or 5.
4 or 5 years.
2016.
I still have people when I say...
2016?
Has it been that long?
Well, we had COVID in the middle.
So those years don't count?
Yeah, 2020 is a throwaway year.
So at least 6 years, if not more. I still have people to this day... When I explained where the Johnson, say Johnson building, and they still think it's up on Dart Lane. So
it is, it's still there.
It's still there. So the intent when we first built this building was to have some sort of an open house for the public to come and see where we're at, see what we do, and meet the staff and the board. Dixon had some ideas when I brought this up the other day about having some information. As far as how big our system is and the districts. This is what district you're in. If anybody's interested in running for a position,
yeah,
precinct maps. And just kind of having a full open house and
hot dog?
Yeah, a hot dog and hamburgers or something. We could feed them, nothing extravagant. But is that something that you guys could get behind or that you're interested in doing?
Well, public relations always... Well, sometimes it's a plus,
right?
But it's always.
Well, if we're thinking about doing something this way, obviously we're not going to do it in the next 2 months, but maybe sometime in the summer months. But if it's something you want to do, we can. And I don't expect the staff to do the whole thing. I think us as members, mm-hmm. we're going to have to take a fair share of this and plan as well and.
I think, like you say, having some information about the size and some of the scope, the precinct map, now we got layers and whatnot.
website.
The website, you know, some things like that can be discussed, and you know, I think there's some good information to get out and just make it a.
I don't think you'd get anybody, or many, unless you throw a hamburger out.
No, not the intent. We'll feed them. We'll have a
feed people out.
Bring your families, and we could advertise it on the bill, on our website.
Members, appreciation, open house.
Members.
Could be legal, you know, if you started, just give everybody a hamburger or something like that, or a little meal, you're going to have something outside. It's going to take some work to put some of that. I can't get it.
Right.
Well, if we, you know, they can come through the facility here, through our shop, and just kind of see what we've got.
Yeah.
Display the equipment out on the end of the parking lot there.
We can use the shop for our for the tables and in case the weather's inclement. Anyway, just something to kind of keep in your head. If you're interested, we'll put that as an item on the agenda, and maybe start discussing and delegating.
We could take them down to the Johnson Water River Walk down there. Go.
For an extra.
You're in charge of that.
Okay. Well, we'll proceed. This sounds like we've got a consensus. Excuse me. I'm running out of voice here, so. Holiday schedule. Okay, this one, we had some concerns on the holiday schedule as far as what days. We approved this back in January. Every year we just approved the same last year. So the state level, federal holidays and Pioneer Day, there is 11 or 12. 12 holidays.
As Juneteenth, but
that's right, as 12. So we have 12 recognized state holidays in the state of Utah. I don't know, Karen dug some information up from 2016 in the minutes where it was approved to give an extra day for Christmas or Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, they were using...
Or not Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve.
It was New Year's Eve?
Well, but we took it off. Yeah, we took it off. But that one's still on there.
Let me pull up the email here. So we've got an extra holiday. 13 is what they've been doing. So let me pull this up. Did you send that out in the minutes for this last
week? It was in the last minutes, yeah.
Okay, that's
fine.
Right.
Okay.
One of the three
options. There it is. Okay. So what we had in there was New Year's, Martin Luther, President's Day, Memorial Day, Juneteenth is the new one, Independence Day, Pioneer Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day. Just give us 9. Thanksgiving... We've got the 23rd, 24th.
If they took, you think Veterans Day or Columbus Day? Which?
Veterans Day.
So Veterans Day was being in lieu, or it was being used for Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The day after.
And then Christmas, we've got the 25th and 26th. So that's 11, 12, 13 holidays. So we just need some direction on what the holiday schedule is going to be, what you guys want to do. The state is 12 holidays, recognized holidays. The federal is 11. But the state does 12.
State, we just have the 24th.
Yeah, so we have another holiday for that.
Well, I think what you just put out there, what you just listed there, is good. And that's what we've been doing. That's what most everybody uses that. Particular schedule.
The 12 days?
He tried it out 13 days.
So,
is that what you're saying?
So 12 days, so we've been have, They've been taking an extra day, the 13 days of holiday.
After Christmas.
Somewhere along the lines, they did, I don't know, I don't exactly know what was the intent with that, but there was another day, and what happened is every year, they just said the year before, let's just do what we did year before. So I don't know if the holiday, do we have any minutes on that as far as what was discussed?
So, we listened to the tape, and the only thing we could get off the tape is that it was an executive session where you guys came up with the... For that year, but that's the year we've been following, 2016, ever since. So, I don't...
So we don't know whether it was just a one-off deal or if it was a policy.
Yeah, I don't...
For a fortuity.
So what
we were here.
What is it a request?
Yeah.
Is it Christmas Eve?
My mind is not...
I remember.
It was... What did you say it was?
2016?
Yeah. Put Jim Ames and Drew in charge of it. You're doing the policies.
In the opening meeting, you talked about... This was the month after, some meeting after you had the executive session. And you talked about it, but you didn't go into detail on the tape, so I couldn't tell what, because you were referring back to the list of holidays that you had, but you didn't go through the list.
So
if
I was involved in that, I would have pulled Roosevelt Cities. Guaranteed.
So you're saying we went close to that.
Which are the
then we refer to the list of holidays
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, sorry.
I just looked up December 2016. Christmas fell on Sunday.
Okay.
So I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm guessing that it was because Christmas was on Sunday, they said...
No, we did hear that part.
And that's what I kind of felt like it was a provision for that year because of what Christmas did, either a Saturday or a Sunday.
There was a big discussion about that. So because it was on Sunday, Christmas would be celebrated on Monday.
Right.
But New Year's Eve was a day off, so that would be given on Friday, right?
Because it was Karen? Saturday.
Saturday goes to Friday.
Yeah.
Sunday goes to Monday.
So it went. So we were going to have Friday and Monday off that year. But what we were talking about is New Year's Day would have been.
It would have been the same day as Christmas. So it would have been Sunday.
So then we would have had Friday off for New Year's Eve right. Day, right?
You don't get New Year's Eve day off. You get New Year's.
You know, New Year's Eve day is not really a...
Well, they did that year, didn't we?
Well,
it's not a holiday. It hasn't been recognized as a day.
I think we don't have a definitive way of knowing. So what's the...
So
whatever
the state,
you decide.
The state, and I think the intent was to follow what the state was, which is now 12 holidays. And there's provisions on their state website, or if you look it up, if it falls on a Saturday, the holiday is observed on Friday. If it falls on Sunday, the holiday is observed on a Monday. Now, I'll say this: Christmas Eve. If you guys, historically speaking, where I work, if you show up to work, you get some stuff done in the morning. It's a slow day. Your supervisor can dictate what happens for the rest of the day if you get stuff taken care of. That's how we've always done it. It's not been a recognized holiday, but if things get done, I don't know. It's up to the discretion of us how we want to handle that, but or take the day off. You've got vacation time. So. But I think it would be wise to stay with what the state is. We're a government entity to deviate from that. I don't know what you guys feel.
Paul? Is there a motion in the minutes? But you don't mention, you didn't write a memo?
No, we didn't.
Just reference the list?
Just a vacation.
Yeah, just that's the ones that's on this list right here that was written out. So.
Vendor Christmas party scheduled. Yeah, we don't go into the details. So.
There's no detail?
No.
No, other than what's on here. So.
So what do you want to do on this one?
I'm
been in the line, the wrong line of work. I've worked every, all of them, so.
I don't know if this is a very good idea because of timing issue. I don't know if this is timing sensitive, but I just had a thought. We're going to, next item on your agenda, we're going to be redoing and cleaning up all of employee stuff, manuals, benefits, all that, making sure that it's all defined well. Would be good to tackle it then because it's a component of complete compensation. It's not, it's complete compensation, so because it's always a metric of a balance between your sick days, your vacation days, and your holidays. It can be trotted out during that process, cleaned up, or we can decide tonight. I'm just throwing out other options because it is a little ambiguous where we didn't have details.
This third-party consultant is going to take some time as far as getting that hammered out.
But the date, the only date that's in question, right, is December 24th.
Right.
Is that the date that is in question?
Yeah. Whichever one.
Have we been taking New Year's Eve day off, too?
I think last year's the first time we ever did it.
How did we do it last year?
So New Year's isn't even, the day before New Year's isn't even listed in this.
I think we took a Friday off and Monday off.
So if you took New Year's Day off last year, that's not...
No, New Year's Day is good, New Year's Eve.
I meant New Year's Eve. If you took New Year's Eve last year?
No, we've never taken New Year's Eve.
Okay. What's in question is what, December 24th?
So Christmas Eve is the question.
Okay.
So...
If we want to...
Can I give an opinion? There hasn't been a year since I've been here where we were able to have our regular holidays. I mean, most of them we get, but every year at least one of them is interrupted by, a break or an emergency of some kind.
Yeah.
And so celebrating, if it happens on Christmas Day, there's been a couple of Christmas days where we've had to work. And celebrating Christmas Day on a comp time day is not the same as staying home with your family on Christmas Day. So you might take that into consideration.
Sure. I think the basis of what we're doing, though, we've got to have at least, you guys can mitigate as far as your holidays. If you work that holiday, you're going to take it here, right? Or here.
That's what I mean, yeah. We can take it later,
But on paper, we've got to have something. But as far as the management of that goes, if you're the manager, you manage that. It doesn't need to be spelled out specifically if you're working a holiday, granted, take Christmas Eve off or whatever have you, but floating holiday or what needs to be, but that's as far as
I'm saying throw one more holiday in there just to make up for the one you might miss. Because Christmas Eve is a day that you're going to spend with your family, even if you're called out the next day on Christmas Day, or vice versa, I worked at the post office for 30 years, and I never got called in on my day off. Do you ever get called in, Dean, on your day off?
No. I've been where you're at. I get it. I have been on call for a lot of years.
Work was a little bit different.
Right.
They're dealing with it.
Yeah. This isn't the post office. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, I think, like you said, to go along with the state.
Well, and I don't know if there's regulations as far as what can we do as far as pay holidays. We're a government entity. Do we have to go with the state of Utah? Can we deviate from that?
You can do whatever you want.
Can we?
Yeah, we can celebrate Yom Kippur if we want.
Easter.
Is that a religious holiday?
Good Friday.
What's a
Good Friday, huh?
Perfect. So anyway, it's out there for...
I think you're going to get more holidays coming. There was a little signal sent by the governor. Or no, not the governor. There's going to be some more recognized holidays coming through, either federal or state.
Perfect.
So to be equitable with other religions. I know, I just heard some comments that's being looked at.
I think the day after Thanksgiving there needs to be a note that that is taken in lieu of
veterans.
If that's the way we're doing it. I have no problem with that, but that way...
Just clarify.
It just clarifies.
So, Dusty, if we integrate this with our third-party consultant, we go with the holiday schedule that's been approved already? Because it already has been approved.
That's why I'm kind of throwing it out there.
So we don't need any new action on this. We can move forward and then address it as part of the compensation.
Well, it's a little easier. And that's all I'm saying. A little easier when you take a holistic look at the whole benefit package.
Sure.
And you're kind of hodgepodge in it.
Right.
And when you look at the whole holistic, all the benefits, then you can align it all together, and it makes it a lot cleaner.
The intent of this is not to take away a holiday from you guys. It's just to clean up and understand where the other holiday came into play and what the intent was.
So I would suggest that you look at, in that those books I have, that we have a draft personnel policy. And we need to have a personnel policy so that we can hand out a personnel folder to our employees so they know exactly
what
days off they have, what's expected of them as far as ethics and behavior, what they can expect as far as merit increases or pay increases or whatever else. Go through that personnel policy and implement it, and then if you want to make changes, change it, you know. But have it so the employees know exactly. They can go back and read the latest, what the policy is. You hire a new employee, you give them the personnel policy package.
Well, and I think that's the whole reason for this third-party consultant, to get on an actual pay scale so all of you guys know where we're heading, where you're at. As a new employee, you know what you can get in that position. All-inclusive with all of what's expected. So
yeah, this has been approved to get done. So it's been the motivation. I don't think the board's agreed with that. With that, it's not been executed. And so the next line item, we're trying to bring it forward again.
But that was from the Utah Association of Special Service Districts. It's an example personnel thing. You know?
Okay. So you've got that in the
it's in that book.
Okay. And that's the whole intent. That's why we want to get this third-party consultant. That's why we've been pushing for it, so we can get all of this stuff wrapped up in it.
And that's what I think. When you look at the whole document, the whole package of not personnel management, you're going to make better. You're going to be able to know what fits where a lot better.
Okay. So consensus is we don't need to do this by resolution because we've already approved the holiday schedule. Keep the holiday schedule what it is. We'll include that in our consultant evaluation as far as that overall package. So,
okay, everybody good with that?
All right. Okay, holiday schedule. That's that one. Third party consultant. We're still working on. So the third party consultant discussion. So if we go down the route that we talked about, all we're basically going to get is just a pay scale for employee position. If we're going to mirror what Roosevelt, so I was given direction last month to kind of tap into what Roosevelt's doing. All we're going to get is basically a pay scale of.
I thought you redid your manual, your employee manual, like your benefits and job descriptions.
We did. So each of these jobs will have the descriptions, but as far as integrating the holidays and everything in a compensation.
That wasn't done. Well, I think that needs to be a part of it.
So we may have to employ somebody to do that part of it.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with this. I'll sit down. I talked with the staff here. I didn't get much information to report on the third or on our scale. So hopefully by the next meeting we'll have something, and then we can take that shell and decide what to do with that information.
Yeah, because I think this whole effort would be one to not only get the career side of the comp and the salary stuff, but the benefit is integrated into it. It's going to be important.
I'll get some references as well.
It's just messy, and I think
you can put the health benefits in there too, because you talked about going over those again and employee participation.
It's a whole encompassing. I mean, all benefits, which is retirement, that still needs to clean. You know, we default it to the high, you know, the favorable situation for employees, but we still need to make sure that all that's reviewed is the whole complete thing, and that's defined because it's open there because we were doing it wrong.
Right.
Unfortunately.
So
with required matching.
So what we'll do, I'll start this with the discussion with what they're doing with these positions, the pay scale, and then I can get some references as well on third-party consultants.
Well, that's kind of the heaviest lift, though.
Right.
Is what you're talking about that you're going to get from Roosevelt. Right. That's the heavy lift. The other stuff can kind of...
Just putting it all together.
It can come in as icing on that cake, for sure.
It'll save us $15,000 if we get somebody that's already done this. That's why we're trying to... Roosevelt's already done it. There's no reason. They're willing to share the information. We haven't gotten the same room with the right people yet, so... I've been to St. George over the last 4 weeks, so... Okay. A couple things in old business here. I'm going to move old business up. And then we'll do the bid openings. curious on Bobby Drake's project. I see pipe laying up there fused together and nothing...
Not buried?
Yeah, nothing going on. What's going on? Is there a statute of limitation on that project before he has to come back for approval again? As there should be, as there's not.
So this is the header he's running on. He's going to tie into XCL's connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's running a header across.
He is hooked into it. We pushed him and pushed him to finally get it hooked up and buried. So it is buried now for the first, 50 to 100 feet. And then it's just out on the ground. He hired, was it Kenny digging it?
Kenny went and put it in.
And so I guess he gave up. He didn't want to pay Kenny what it was worth to dig through that cobble rock or whatever. I don't know.
So he abandoned the project?
I don't know. It was just all sitting out on the ground.
So that was to be engineered. I remember that part of it. Who engineered for him? Did we get engineered drawings for him? I specifically remember that was in, I think you made that motion. Did we?
I don't remember anything about that. It's, I think it was one of those where we gave him the specs. See, he wasn't going to do any meters yet until he sold the property. So he was just supposed to put the line in and bury it. It's never been turned on. I think we pressure tested it.
Mm-hmm. Above ground?
Above ground, yeah, because it's HDP. Gotcha. And we probably have to pressure test it again before.
Yeah.
After it's buried.
That would be more sense after it's buried.
So it's enclosed. It's not open to air.
It is. It's sitting on the ground open.
Well, the pipe's open to air, but the end of the pipe is closed off, yeah.
I mean, it's not like a rabbit's going to go in there and rats and mice.
Just in the existing pipe on the ground.
It's just sitting up on the ground.
They'll have to flush that.
Yeah, so he's got to go through the whole testing, the pressure testing again, and then the back tee testing.
Yeah.
Well, if we're pressure testing above, I think that needs to be done after install.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'll do it again once he buries it.
Right, but to save time, they're...
He just wanted to pressure test it so he didn't have to dig it up.
Gotcha.
If he had an obvious...
Okay, that makes more sense.
Gotcha. Leak.
Okay.
So is he paying a fee for having that hookup that's put in there? I mean, he paid to have it put in, right?
He paid for it, yeah.
But it's just sitting there now and it's not being used and he's not so paying anything for that or for access or...
Well, it's an extension of our main line is what it is. So he's going to sell connections off of that trunk line. So as far as connecting to our line, no, we didn't charge him a connection fee because we'll get that when he sells connections to the line.
Okay.
Right?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
So I was just curious. I drive by there often and nothing's happened.
But we've got three different lines that are kind of in limbo like that.
Okay.
So that one? We've got the one that belongs to Kenny Richens out there at Wapiti that goes east from there. It's a line. It's got three or four high fire hydrants on it. So and it's never been
we've never pressure tested it, and we've never approved it, and we've never used it. And it's just sitting out there, but it's all done. The other one is Rasmussen's out there off Highway 40. It goes up toward the pole line.
So that's a problem. I see it a big problem, because what if we maximize our capacity in those areas before they get the construction completed in 3 years? I think we need to have...
But there's no, connections approved for that.
Right.
But, the risk is on him. Because
right. I just think they need to understand the risk.
Yeah.
We need to spell it out that if you are over 180 days from the time that you get approval, you need to come back to the board and make sure you're still good to go. Or
well, this is a policy we've been talking about, or a policy we're considering is a reservation, you know, because we have.
Yeah. So okay. If you go through also in that book is in that draft rules and regulations, it talks about that before any connection like that is approved, whether it's Bobby Drake or Kenny Ridgens or Rasmussen over there, that they have the detailed plans and then they pay a fee to us to review the plans and then they install it, but they also have to pay the impact fees up front. And then they have to pay a standby fee to reserve their place for their amount of water that their engineer says they're going to need for their subdivision. So they pay a standby fee of a certain amount, you know, whether it's $10 or $15 a month or whatever. And then once they're hooked up, I mean, we have the base fees that we need to charge even if they're turned off.
Okay.
Once you have a meter in, they need to pay a monthly base fee, not a standby. The standby fee is just that they propose to put a meter there, and so we're reserving water for them.
Right. So it sounds like it'll take care of itself eventually when we get the policy implemented.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Okay. Well, that was a concern.
I did talk to Jen, and Kenny had mentioned when Jim was using it, or they were not Jim, but the
Summit.
They were using
the Summit power line installer guys.
Whatever they were using, no, it was before that. But they were using the, they were filling trucks out of that.
Yeah, for Summit. Yeah.
Was it okay? And Kenny's like, oh no, you know. And Kenny told me, he said, I haven't turned that over to Johnson.
Yeah.
And so that's not even an active line. So he recognizes that line is not even considered Johnson Water. So the risk's on him if there's no capacity out there.
Yeah, we made sure it was shut off. So.
But to Drew's point, this policy, I believe, will address that once we hammer it out. Because it's a big issue, potential issue that could get us in a little bit of a bind under a circumstance such as that one.
But if you read through in that draft rules and regulations about subdivisions, you can read in there. They've got some really good ideas on making sure that everything is done. And then when somebody comes in, they fill out the application, come to a meeting, we can send them that information, or we can refer them to the website and say, okay, well, here's our proposed rules and regulations. Not our proposed. Here are our rules and regulations. And you need to read through that and see what's going to be involved. Because some people charge 3% of the proposed construction costs to go over the plans and to supervise installation, not supervise, but inspect the installation while they're putting it in to make sure everything's done to your specifications. Either that or you hire an engineer, or they hire an engineer, and the engineer certifies that it's been done correctly.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think it'll take care of us if we get this implemented, so that's why I brought it up. Two other things real quick. I think they'll kind of coincide with each other. Corey Finn called me today. His bill's been kind of up and down all around. He's got a leak, he said. Did he call? He called you, Karen? Corey Finn with Ag?
Whoa. Ag?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Corey. Oh, yeah.
So what's going on there?
He got a leak.
Well, he doesn't mind paying the bill, he said, but he said it's been so significantly up and down. He said, if I had a leak, it would be consistent, right? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll find out what's going on.
We data logged it, and he has a leak, and it's getting worse and worse.
Oh, he also mentioned about the billing. So was there some month that he didn't get billed, and then it's being prorated or something?
No, it's just because it's getting higher.
Well, maybe I'm getting, I think
getting worse.
I think I'm getting this one mixed up. He talked about an employee that he had up Ioka Lane. I don't know who that would be. She lives up there in Ioka. Her bill was pretty constant, and now it's spiked because she said she called in and the meters weren't being read or something, and now they're being prorated back to what the bill was. Do you know anything about that?
So there may have been that it didn't read, and we went back and we found out that her average was way above the 6,000 gallons a month.
So how do we handle those situations? If what's the historically we read them every single month,
yeah,
off of usage. So if it didn't read, we'd only be going back what, a month or?
Well, there's some that skip past us because we don't know that.
And they don't call in and obviously say anything,
yeah,
until they get the bill for the water usage.
On some of those like that, if they've been not been reading for a long time, I guess it's just so that they just have their base rate and get it back to where it's reading. So.
Okay, so do we need to have them maybe call in or something?
Well, they might need to. I don't even know who on IO, because
I don't know the name. I didn't write it down. So it's kind of, he's combining a bunch of situations into one.
So the problem with ag is their meter is out west of IFA,
right,
and their pipeline goes right underneath IFA's fertilizer silo. And IFA drives all over that line, and it's leaked like four or five times. They had to go in and repair it. And so Bart is going to build that new building. And I'm saying, and he suggested, can we reroute that line? I said, yeah, get it out from underneath IFA and reroute it into ag, so you're not driving over it, and
right,
so it's not under somebody else's building.
Speaking of which, when we run that line to the new ag, the meter will be out on Pole Line Road, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if they want to do two lines, one to the old building, one to the new building.
2 meters then.
2 meters, two lines.
Yeah. Okay. I gave him an option because I don't know how he's building a building without fire protection. It's in Roosevelt City.
What's that?
Isn't it in Roosevelt City?
Yes. Yeah.
And the Roosevelt doesn't require sprinkler systems in?
Not in that building, no. Because the occupancy will not be such that it needs sprinklers. It's square footage.
Is it?
And it's just under the square footage his building.
Okay, so I wasn't sure, so I told him, I said, if you are required to put in a fire system, then we're going to be required to put an 8-inch line down there.
No, he's...
And in which case, if we did put an 8-inch line in there, then we would put your meters down off of Highway 40.
Right. So I think it's 15,000 square foot. He's like 14.5. He's just under the threshold.
Yeah.
So we're okay on that one. Okay.
Okay, so he's just going to get a...
Okay.
I think Jones at the mill was trying to get a 2-inch line in there, and I told him, no way in heck.
A 2-inch?
A 2-inch meter. I said, that's ridiculous.
He doesn't need a 2-inch.
You don't need a 2-inch meter.
Well, if I'll
a 3/4 will do. Just
if she wants to call in, I guess she'd call in. I think he was more or less complaining for her, but I don't know exactly what the situation was there.
When we data log, more often than not, you can find out. I mean, there's a lady up on the hill up here who was complaining about her bill being way high, and I said, well, I went and data logged it, and you can tell a lot from the data log. It says, so they started. First of all, I told her, I says, well, it looks like you went on vacation from December 6th until the 15th or something. She says, how do you know that? Because there was no water went through the meter for that period of time. And then, like, the day after Christmas, she started using a little bit of water, and the next day it was a little bit more and more, and it got worse. And I says, have you checked your toilets? I mean, maybe there's a leak in your toilet. And she says, no, my husband says there's no leaks. And I says, well, you've got a leak somewhere And she swore that there was no leaks, but the next month it just went away.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was, but
I found the leak.
And then there was another time where somebody says, we use a lot of water, and we went and looked, and it's like the water was on like 20 gallons a minute from 5 o'clock one night until 7 o'clock the next morning, and then it went off. And that happened like two or three times. It's like Jim says to him, do your kids water your cows?
They're after 9.
Yeah. They forgot to turn the water off a couple times.
Well, that's all the old business I had. Anybody else has got anything else?
I moved away adjourned.
Okay. We're out of here.
Take a smart or hanky for you. Cowboy.
It's not big enough.
It's not big enough? You got some big old
water shares.
Oh crap, we gotta do the water shares. Yeah. Sorry, don't adjourn yet.
We don't adjourn.
Yeah, we need to. Goodness gracious. I don't want to. You want to write down what we got? On to the water shares. So, we had how many?
There you go.
All look more turned in on time.
Don't have to toss any of them.
Don't have to toss any of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have four bids. This is for a 3-year lease to get it done in with coinciding with our other shares of water. Minimum of $50 and assessments.
And it's in our lateral.
And it's in our lateral. Okay, the first one is Terry Scholes. I'll have you verify this as well. Terry Scholes would like to submit a bid for $100 per share for 2 shares of Class D water. So two shares. We didn't have a minimum, did we?
That's why I verified. We didn't put a minimum on.
Okay.
I think that's what he had last year.
Okay, 2 shares. That's Terry Scholes.
I think so.
$100.
Per share.
Does it say per share? Yes.
Per share.
Okay.
Box stuff for you, boy. I pressed everybody to me.
Okay. Curtis McCormick. I am willing to pay $100 per share for any or all shares of water that are available. Class D shares that are downstream of 4,000 West Meter. I would like to lease them for as many years that they are available. Thank you so much. Okay, so $100 for any that's available. So
far we're on the same program as last year.
So we put 100 for 10 shares then, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now the buy bid is $100.
Okay. Oh, where are we putting these at? So in our well, let's open them and then we'll discuss that.
Maybe we don't need to discuss.
Well, this you do if it's $100 is your high bid.
Yeah, we will. So we'll follow in how we advertise.
But somebody give $120.
Right, we won't need to. But if that's the high bid, then we'll have to.
Okay. Should have been higher than one.
Dax Jensen, that would be Richard Roth property?
I thought so.
Yeah, I think that's who bought that one modular or whatever.
2869 South, 4000 West. Okay. 5 shares at $150 per share.
Whoa.
He needs some water.
He does. It always needs water, Bruce.
That's $50 per share.
What's that?
$50.
$150. And you can read it next year.
Small one, big five.
Okay, the third and last one would be Dale Winterton. I'd submit this bid for 3 shares of D water to be used according to the requirements at $100 a share. Did they all get together on the $100? Okay. Well.
And that's the last.
This will be an easy one, I think.
So we got five of those a day, right?
Okay, so back up just a minute. Per our advertising, we reserve the right to refuse and reject all offers for one, but priority would be given to, how did we word that? Did we word that at all?
I don't think we put.
In our other statement on our waters, we give priority to the most value to Johnson Water, or whatever it was. I believe in our advertisement.
We did advertise it that way.
Meaning, if you bid 50 shares at $100 or 5 shares at $100, the preference would go to the 50, so you didn't split it up. That's how I believe we advertised our other shares. We may have to pull up the advertisement.
Do we have a copy of the letter we sent out? Did I give you a letter copy? I might have it.
That wasn't sent out on this one. We didn't specify.
Oh, that's right.
So we probably can't refer to it, but that's, in my recollection, that's how we bid the other shares. Which would mean, if we did it that way, Curtis would get the 5, and the Jensen would get the other 5. Because 5 is more than 3, and...
2.
So I don't know how you want to handle that one. Or
they all
give everybody a little, the $100, you divide it.
Yeah. Does Dax have Class D water?
Okay. No, wait.
Because if he don't have the water, can we lease it?
Richard did sell water with that.
Did he?
I don't know. We probably need to qualify that one.
Find out who the director is for Class D and look and see how much he owns.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll bet we can contact him pretty quick.
I've got a paper.
Class D.
I'm sure he'd give him...
I've got a paper.
Originally, there was 3 shares on that, 2. What did Richard have on there? Do you remember?
2 or 3.
I think Curtis may have sold him 3. Whether he passed it to Dax, I don't know.
Do you want to call Richard real quick? We're going to need to know in order, because if he doesn't own water...
Well, there's Dax's number there.
Yeah, if he doesn't own water... Then.
Well, was there a chance that Dax would own elsewhere? D?
I don't know.
I don't know. He's got his phone number there. We can call him right directly.
Not, should we call him and ask him?
We could.
He should know whether he has it.
What's his number?
801.
Hold on just a second.
801-889.
Okay.
6904.
And his name's Dax?
Do you know him?
Hello, Dax.
Yep.
Hey, Drew Eschler with Johnson Water. We're sitting here with our board. We've got a question or two for you. Do you have a minute?
Yes, I do.
So on this water that you're wanting to lease, the property you bought from Richard Ross.
Yes.
Did he sell any water with that property?
4 shares.
Okay, so they are in your name?
Yes.
Okay, and you've got the certificate transferred and everything?
I went down to Dry Gulch and they said everything should be in order, so.
Okay, very good. Okay, that's what we needed to know.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Good, bye. I was one off. I remember 3, but I was 4. Well, he could have sold whatever he could have.
Okay, so how are you going to handle that one? Obviously, he gets the 5.
He gets the 5.
At $150, mm-hmm. None of the other 5 were. How are you going to handle that?
Give 2 to Curtis. 1 to?
Well, there's only 2 in my mind because the other one's under $100, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're all 300?
They're all 100.
Mm-hmm.
They're all 100.
Is it 3 to Curtis or 2? No, what is his name? 1 and 2, right?
What did the other 2 want?
Terry wanted 2. Dale wanted three, Curtis wanted whatever he can get. All he can get.
So what if you give one to...
I don't know how you split that up. If we would have advertised the preference on priority on more shares bid, this would be easy, but we didn't.
Doesn't people know how to play the game? 101.
Right.
It would have made it so much easier. It would have made $3 difference or $5 difference.
But the two that had it last year
was
Terry and
Curtis.
Curtis. So do you give them priority? I don't think we have any grounds to do that.
When you rebid, can you give it to Dax and then rebid the other five?
Oh man.
No, cost so much money.
I don't think we can.
Oh no, we didn't have it in the paper. We just sent them notices.
Well, you got two options. Priority to the most shares. The most benefit to Johnson Water, I guess you got to look at it that way. What's the most benefit to Johnson financially and administratively? Sending bills out, receiving money from individuals, meaning you only deal with less people, right? Less letters, less... So if you go that route, then you have two people to deal with, because Curtis would take priority at that point. If you want to do it differently, what legally, how would you justify giving... How would you do it?
There's five shares up.
Because Curtis bid for the most amount of shares for the same money.
Yeah, he qualifies as for five, according to his bid.
Right.
The other ones are two and three. Those are all they qualify for.
Suggestions?
Well, he bid for more money.
Let's have a bid strategy training session. Don't talk to your neighbors and do odd numbers.
Well,
I don't know how you do it.
Invite them in, talk to them, say, hey, do you want to rebid it for the five shares? Or do you just want to work it out and share it among them?
Well, it's only five shares. They're not, I mean... Last year, Curtis had eight.
That's a sticky situation, Mark.
So how many did the Dax?
Five.
He wants
five. Five. So he fives up the table.
So how many acres of ground he got?
10, I think. 6, 7.
Yeah, he's got about 10 acres, so he's got 9 shares if he gets those.
Yeah. So he... According to how we bid it, he gets the five because he's the highest bid. The other three are all tied in a three-way tie, basically.
Why don't we just default to Dry Gulch to me?
Well, in my opinion, you go with the most shares bid. But
that's the only thing that I think you could try to pull out of that.
Because if you try to quantify it some other way, you can't.
Right now...
Somebody's going to feel shorted.
So what's the benefit to Johnson Water? If you rebid it, you're going to get higher bids.
Okay, we could do that and say $100 is the minimum. Rebid it.
Just those three.
Just those three.
We could do that.
Yeah. I'm saying, you know, I think it's maybe the only way to be fair with them to say you guys all came in with the same price. There was no, we didn't give a priority. We didn't specify priorities. Minimum $100. Good luck.
I like it. That takes the heat off of us from making just one decision or split it three ways. I think that's what we do. We just reach out to them. I like it. If you guys like it,
on five shares.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the five, yeah. Tell them there's five available that were bidding, pre-bidding up for you three only.
Yep. Close bid again.
And you can tell them the reason why, obviously, that you all come in with the same bid.
Yep.
We'll be able to sell them. One time thing.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Municipalities, water districts
can't sell shares.
Supposedly by the state of Utah, you turn that water into drinking water at some point in its lifetime.
Oh, okay, all right.
So that's what we've been told anyway, Roosevelt City.
Okay.
So do we need? We'd probably need a motion, a resolution on accepting the one and rebidding the others.
All right, I'll move that we accept the Dax Jensen's offer to buy 5 shares of Class D.
To lease
5 shares of Class D for $150 a share, which will are on top of assessments and... Is that it? On top of assessments?
On top of the assessments, and then rebid.
And then we will rebid the remaining 5 shares with the 3...
Through
Terry Scholes, Curtis McCormick, and Dell Winterton, who bid $100 a share with a minimum of $100 a share, with that being the minimum.
Yes. Okay. Dusty moved.
And we will give them till, how long do we need?
Probably the Wednesday before next board meeting.
Do you want to give them that long? They've already put their bid in. I think if you give them a week or two.
Well, we're not going to meet. This is my other thing.
That's true, too.
Let's see, April.
Our next board meeting is on 13th of April.
I think you could give it a week.
That's true.
And then send information out of what can come in.
I mean...
And award it, how we say, and we award it to the highest bidder.
Just go to the highest bidder.
Well, what if you have another situation, though, and the board needs to make a decision? You never know.
We'll call you up.
We can make it part of it, and we'll just award it off the highest bid. If we get a curveball, then I guess we'll have to deal with it.
Okay, let's just do that. Award will be granted to the highest bid and a quantity bid.
Priority with quantity.
Priority with quantity.
Yeah.
That way you guys can take care of it, hopefully.
That can break a tiebreaker.
So give them, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, I don't even think they're going to need 2 weeks.
I think
I'd say next Friday.
Okay, by the 17th at noon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
If somebody's out of town and they're not there and you don't get a hold of them, then we need to make sure that they're able to contact with them.
Right.
It shouldn't be hard.
Then you guys will let us know, reach out to us, and let us know what the results are.
Okay.
And Nick City has a meeting with Mike City on Monday at 1.
Mm-hmm.
We got the signed note. Do we have a second?
Nope. Need a second on Dusty's motion to
second rebid.
Okay. Dean, bro, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. And you'll let the people know by phone? Or by... You have to be by phone. We can't do mail.
Just hand-delivered?
Hand-delivered. Give them... I'd probably need to do it either tomorrow or Monday, then, if we're going to have a cutoff of Friday.
Yeah, this shouldn't take long to decide.
If you can't get a hold of them by person, you just call them and let them know so they have enough time.
It would be better to have it in paper form, though, so they...
Yes, it would be.
That'll be easy.
That's a great deal.
Right, Curtis will probably be the only one that'll maybe be a hard one.
You can just call and tell them, say drop by and grab it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right.
We'll adjourn.
Okay, we'll be adjourned.
Thank you, guys.
Get home before 10. What will you do with yourself?
Bedtime.
Last month.
The adjourn?
Yeah.